It's the Tiltcast, episode 132, dishing out justice.
This week we covered Dota 2, Stalker, Half-Life, No Bad Touch, BioShock Infinite, Dark Souls again.
Dark Souls.
Lots of references.
Stay tuned. Welcome back to another episode of the Tiltcast. This is Crazy Earl here. Beside me to my left is the Nasty Noss.
Hey, what's up?
And to his left, the Trench Show.
Hey, what's up?
And then to his left, the Voice.
What's up, guys?
It's going to keep going left. Does it go back to you?
No, it never goes back to me, ever. You have to go right to get back to me.
We're technically a circle.
So we are not in a circle. This is not... How is this a circle? This is not
it's like the Fellowship of the Ring.
Ooh.
It can kind of
I'd be the dwarf. I want to be the dwarf. I love him. We used to watch Sliders, and
yeah, he's the professor.
He is. Yeah. And then my wife, when I got with her, we watched Sliders, and we got to the part where he died, and I always made me mad. And then she was like, "Isn't this the time that he went and did the thing for the Lord of the Rings?" I'm like, logic. I don't need you because I love him. But I heard he's a douche in real life, so
I don't know about that.
Send us an email, Rayes. I know you listen.
Are you a douche?
Are you a douche? Like Michael Dorn or whatever his name was.
So, what level of douche?
What was his name? What was the Klingon's name off of TNG?
Worf?
Yeah, what's his real name?
He said Michael Dorn.
Yes, yeah. I heard he's a douche too.
I would imagine he is.
I need him to send us an email as well because I know he listens. I'm just going to drop celebrities' names hoping one day someone's in the city.
I would kind of hope that Michael Dorn is a total douchebag. I mean, I would hate to think that he...
I would hate to think that when Worf went home, he just sniffed daisies and
fed cats.
When I was in high school, I had a friend that was a big Star Trek nerd, and she went to one of the Star Trek conventions. He was there, and she said he was like the total dude. She was like, "Go for an autograph," and he's all like, "Like sign autograph," and she's like, "You're my favorite character." He's like, "Nerks," and like never even like addressed her or anything.
At the same time, though, I mean. How many conventions have you been to?
Yeah. But still, you should still be like, "Hey, you want a picture? Cool."
I think that's a lot of everybody has their limit that they can.
That's really all he's got going for him.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Well, yeah. At least Jordy had Reading Rainbow.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not like LeVar Burton. You know?
Yeah, he had Reading Rainbow.
Hey, you know what LeVar Burton did that was awesome? He had an episode of Reading Rainbow where they went to the Star Trek Enterprise. Amazing. Yeah.
Or the guy who plays Data. I always forget his name.
That's Brent Spiner.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean...
Well, the newest thing he did, he was on the Big Bang Theory.
So it was Will Wheaton. Yeah. Will Wheaton gave him the collectible.
Yeah.
He's all like,
"Oh yeah." What happens is, it's like, what's his name? The really fucking dorky one. What's his name?
Sheldon.
Sheldon has like a vendetta with. I started watching the Big Bang.
Theory. Oh, it's amazing.
But what Sheldon has this huge vendetta with Will Wheaton. He's like his number one enemy. And the other guy who he lives with is going to Will Wheaton's party, and he's like, "You can't go." So he goes anyways. And you find out that the whole reason he has a vendetta with him is that he had a collectible.
He went to a show,
and he wasn't there to sign it for him because he had some other other thing he had to do. So that was his moral enemy because I think it's like, "Oh, really? Well, here, I got you this, and it's autographed to you," and so they became best friends. And then Rick Spiner comes up out of nowhere and goes like, "Oh, wow, Will Wheaton on," just like rips it
crying
with it, and he's just like stares him down, and he gets really mad.
He's like, "You might
I got a bunch of Data dolls in my trunk if you want," but he's like, "No."
You become my nemesis.
Speaking of which, Big Bang Theory, great show, by the way.
Wearing
the Bazinga superhero t-shirt.
Screw that. Yeah, so, Mr. Noss, I'm going to start with you. What have you been doing?
Oh, Jesus. You had to start with me.
Never mind. Trent, I'm going to start with you. What have you been doing?
No, you go back to Justin.
So, Justin, what have you been doing?
Well, I'm just going to start going backwards.
Gosh. Dude, I'm behind you. Can you
shave my head?
I noticed that. I was afraid.
He looks like he's about to dish out some justice.
I was afraid you
puked it
all the
way.
I was afraid you puked it all the way.
This is like the Shield.
I want to ask you a question.
What?
Did the Voice put you up to this?
No.
Okay. Just making sure.
I'm just going bald. I mean, just be honest. I'm losing hair up front.
Not all of us can have luxurious hair. A head of locks of flax and gold like Trent, but
flax and gold.
Flax and gold. We talked a lot of shit, so it turned brown.
Yeah. Actually, you know, a lot of people say, like, well, you got sugar and spice, you know? You got some salt and pepper here. Yeah. And I'm just like, I was making a joke about, I don't like people saying salt and pepper. If you say shit and cum, I'm fine with that. Salt and pepper is a little bit irritating. Yeah, but my hair is getting very, you know, grays and white.
You're starting to get a Reed Richards.
I like it.
I don't mind it. I mean, I like having...
Reed Richards?
Yeah, well, I call it Doctor Strange. Because it's going to come in along the sides over here, and probably maybe a little swirl in the middle.
You get a skunk
so I'm going to have the Dr. Orpheus nice. going on. So, and then if I can get the white right here, just in the goatee, down the middle like that, with the soul patch being black and the toss being black.
See, we had
that would rock.
We had a middle school teacher in Claremore that had the gray hair.
Yeah,
but in his goatee, it was black. Except for here, like the hit where his yeah, had his mustache, it was gray, and then it was just a stroop right down here that was gray.
Yeah,
and it was creepy. I'm like, I don't know what the hell's going on here right now.
So, yeah, I would have just called him Skunk Mouth or something.
But I'm enjoying I've always had gray in my hair since I was like 16, little pieces, but it's coming in more and more.
Don't worry, I'm going gray. More and more every day.
I know, it's better than bald.
It's true. Oh, it's okay. You pulled off nicely, sir. So, going backwards.
You look like you're going to dish out justice.
You look like Michael, however his last name is spelled. He used to be the commish.
Every great funny man story. Pushed to his edge.
It's true.
He shaved his head before he dished out revenge.
It's true. He was the commish. And
Kevin Bacon and Death Sentence.
Max Payne.
His head.
Max Payne.
Shaved his head. Taxi driver.
Ooh, great
taxi movie. Taxi driver. He shaved.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
There you go. Shaved his head.
He used to be part of the Hollywood Blondes, and then he shaved his head and
it turned into a badass
that we all know and love.
Evil
villain in the end, so.
It's true. So, before you cut your hair, what did you do?
Well, I'm going to start afterwards.
Oh, you said you're going backwards.
Well, I'm starting.
I don't even know what we're saying right now.
I hung out with some people this weekend. Went to our friend Vanessa's birthday. That was pretty fun.
Yeah.
Hung out with Holly and Brian, and that was really cool. And the food up at Tokyo Garden is pretty kick ass.
Oh, as always.
Up at the where?
Tokyo Garden.
That's a good place.
Little samurai chef action. I like it.
Yeah.
But so that was a weird day because I took a 4-day weekend wanting to game and everything else, and then my allergies kicked in like hardcore, all the fucking tree sex. Stuffing up my nostrils. So I've been antihistamines for a while. But that aside, went and saw a show, saw Opeth, that was really fun.
Which one?
Opeth.
Ooh.
Probably the Tiltcast resident metalhead, and I realize that. But, that aside, I played a whole lot of video games, and I was gonna see Star Trek too, but that didn't pan out. But, most recently, I've been playing some Dota. I'm not very good at it. I would realize that.
I will probably be jumping in there with you.
How do you spell that?
DOTA. Defense of the Ancients 2. Yeah. It's a free-to-play game released by Valve.
Dota 2?
Yep.
DOTA.
To give some history, because it sounds like you don't know what it is. Do you remember Warcraft 3 before World of Warcraft?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Warcraft 3 had a mod called Dota. And Dota was a game that people played where you played hero classes on a map where you had two sides and you had three lanes and you destroyed towers until you got to the other tower and blew it up.
Hmm.
So, massive online battle game, I guess, is what a MOBA is. Whatever. But anyways, it's pretty fun. I've been dogging on it pretty hard until recently, and I started realizing all the smart things that Valve does with their game, and I didn't realize how big it was. Going through, I mean, it's still technically a beta, but there's tournaments going on and things like that. And instead of using like Twitch TV to watch tournaments, because I do that for like StarCraft and things like that, they actually use the game client. And what they do is the game client is they re-render it on your screen using the game engine on your machine to watch the matches. So you watch the match like that, and then you can pick different commentary channels and different languages and things like that. And then you hear a commentator over it who will, you know, direct the screen or whatever, or you can free roam around. It's kind of cool because you can look at like the different stats for different people and their builds and things like that, so you can kind of get an idea of how the pros do it. But basically what it is there's some tournaments that are free to watch, but the majority of them you have to pay a little something. And so I spent $5.99. Oh, sorry,
my bad.
So, what you do is you spend $5 and they throw it in a pot, and I guess about approximately 90% of that goes towards the players playing the game. So, like, I watched one that was like a $30,000 tournament, and right now there's a tournament going on that's $1.9 million.
Wow. That's so, where the pot comes from, though.
But it comes from the subscriptions.
Yeah.
And right now that one comes from the compendium pack, so you can buy a additional pack that will... I forgot what it does. It's not really that big a deal, but... see, if you spend $9.99, I guess you get to watch this tournament, but it's $1.9 million for just...
playing, you know, video games.
Dudes playing video games.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And all the other random tournaments that are always going on are all like pots of $20,000 and $30,000 and $40,000.
That's still a good payday if you win.
Me and Trent were talking about this today, and I was like, so I've been watching Dota tournaments and playing practice runs because I suck so bad. And then I started telling him about the pot, and Trent's like, huh.
Almost anything. Yeah, I raise my eyebrow when I say almost. So yeah.
Well, there's no cock sucking involved with this.
Yeah,
it's fairly easy. We know what you
do. So that's the only thing you wouldn't do.
Well, the thing is, we can put together a 4-man crew, train together, like do the Rocky montage.
I think it's five total. You gotta have.
Okay, five total. We can get a fifth. Go in there, we, you know, get the five together, they train together, they know each other, you know, they basically have their ideas of what classes they're going to do and stuff, and work together, just support, go in, and work our way up, and just make money.
There you go.
Yeah. I won't quit my own job or anything, but, you know, just...
have your own sponsors.
Yeah, and then split everything probably what is.
I like it. I like it.
Shit, I wouldn't mind being sponsored by somebody like Razer or something like that.
Yeah. I'll focus on... right now, though, which is just
good. AMD, or... yeah. But it'd be a cool way, I mean, if we got good enough.
Yeah.
But you're playing against some people that's been for a long time.
Well, Dota's been around for ages, but Dota 2 has only been around for about a year and a half.
But people have played Dota before.
Right, but it's different. I mean, like, I've played a lot of MOBAs. I've played Smite, played a lot of League of Legends, I've played,
Dota's not hard to pick up.
This one, it's a little different, though. Like, it's a little slower pace than the other MOBAs. Like, it's slower pace, I think, than Dota 1.
It's like 35-minute matches.
Yeah, most of my matches run about 30, 45 minutes, sometimes an hour.
Which is fine by me. I get tired of the fast 15-20-minute matches. I like having more... you have time to kind of strategize, do your thing, get in there. At least you go in and you can implement a little bit of a longer strategy than just, you know...
Well, if I was actually working with people instead of just, like, randomly saying I'm going top or I'm going mid or whatever, that would feel a little bit more constructive. And that's my problem is right now I'm just doing, you know, non-match or non-ranked matches. And so it's just like you play and...
some practice then.
Yeah, and I'm not that great. I mean, I've picked, like, 50... I tried New Hero. Like, there's a random select hero thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just try a New Hero and try to learn him every time I do it. And I don't even care if he's ranged or melee or whatever. There's just so many damn... heroes, I think there's 100 now.
Wow.
You can just hit different. Random. Yeah, and they all have different abilities and things like that.
But there's like a set number of class types, but they're all different abilities to those class types. So you'll have like a tank who can do this, a tank that can do that, but or you'll have a support that can do that or whatever you want. But and then you're talking about the vanity items.
That's how they're making money right now. They're making money with the matches, and they're making money with the... with vanity items. So right now with the vanity items, it's just you can buy like a little hat for your dude or a bandana or something like that or a different costume. Mm-hmm. You spend like $1.99, and I haven't really done that because I haven't gotten, like, I haven't found my guy, you know. So
my guy.
Yeah, you know. But I mean,
but they don't add anything.
I don't know if there's quite 100, but there's still quite a bit, right?
Quite a bit. Yeah. 4, 8, 12, 16.
So while you're counting,
16, 32.
There's a lot.
He's tapping his fingers while he counts.
48.
Yeah.
There's 48.
The whole ring man thing.
That's 48 times 3.
48.
16,
24. 48.
144. Just this and this is 186.
No, because that's only 4. That's 16 per square. So
they're 16.
But look, 16 times 3 is what?
48.
16
times
3
is
48. 1,000 to 1. Oh, it was 48. Sorry, you're right. So that's what? 96?
So,
96 right there. 98. 100, 2, 4, 6, 8.
A lot.
10, 12, 13. 113. 113, sir.
And welcome back from your intermission. That was a scene from Rain Man.
Yes, 113. It's 113.
I was trying to find the guy I was actually just playing. So, anyways, yeah, I was playing. Today I've tried out several. The one that I liked so far was one called Bane.
Bane.
Bane's like a weird... He kind of looks like an alien. But he's got like a... He's got different, like, basically controller abilities, so like...
Does he have fireball?
No, he does not have fireball. But he, like, he can put somebody to sleep, and they go to sleep, they take damage.
Nice.
Or he can absorb their health, or he can hold them in place and then suck damage from them.
So, you've been brain sucked.
No, it's called brain sap.
That actually sounded pretty good.
brain sucked.
Anyway, but either way, the vanity items are just all just, they don't really do anything. They just basically make your character look nicer, so it keeps everything
nice
and even.
Well, you're a support character, you're Bane.
So that way, if you buy a bunch of vanity items, it doesn't actually give you any bonuses. So.
So, like, there's different
which
classes.
Which is a smart
silence.
Yes.
So, to kind of give you an idea, I'll just kind of...
Well, that's really cool.
They have different classes. So, like, you have a carry, and what the carry is I tried playing this, but I need a team to play carry. Carry is basically a character that gets carried through the game for the first 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Just hanging out behind the lines, leveling up.
Lazy fucker.
And when you get to a certain level, once you hit, like, your level 4 abilities, he's way more powerful than a lot of other characters.
They give him, like, a multiplier for his...
No, they're just usually a lot more powerful. Like, level 4 is way more powerful, but you got to survive till, you know, the 20-minute mark. You got the Disabler. Disablers are kind of like support units.
That's what Bane is.
Lane support, which
you've
is...
You've been Bane sucked. Sorry, I love that. I gotta write that.
That's episode
there, there's the episode title right there.
Well, I've written that a couple already. But, you've been Bane sucked. Oh.
The ones that you're talking about, Trent, that you were thinking about doing were the durables. Yeah. And the durables are basically low damage, medium damage characters.
Yeah.
That can take a lot of punishment. And you kind of use them in the middle of like team battles and things like that. You'll get up in a group of enemies, you kind of use them to kind of absorb damage. Among a lot of different characters, while you
like
dish out
Warlock.
Yeah, I was actually just playing that guy, Slargar.
It's like a big old.
That was that guy.
Warlock.
See, it says he's called a carry.
Yeah,
he's a carry slash durable. So, like, I was playing this guy, and he doesn't have shit for attacks. Like,
he's got a Slytherin crush. He's got a crush on Harry Potter.
He just does a basic melee attack, but he gets an additional bit of damage.
Cool.
Like, he can get an extra attack in. And so for like the first 20 minutes I was playing the game, like I was getting owned, but I took damage really well.
Yeah.
And then once I hit my level 4, like I was just going in and taking on two or three guys at a time.
I heard that.
And he's kind of a badass, and I didn't realize that. I was just, again, just random pick.
That was a good dish.
It was a good dig.
I heard that about you.
That's a good dig. But, I mean, there's different characters. I mean, your support classes will either be ones that do disabling damage or things like that, or heal or things like that.
Yeah.
And so everybody kind of has multiple different roles. Usually the first role is the first thing they do, and then move on down the road.
Well, that's cool.
But it's a free-to-play game, and it's made by Valve.
And you can make a lot of money off of it if you're good.
Yeah.
So, that's the tournament that they're leading up to right now.
But you got to sign up for the invite first.
Oh, I can give anybody that wants it. I can give an invite. I have a shitload of them.
Wow, the current prize is $2,110,542.
Yeah, cool, it's bro. Actually the second most played game on the internet right now.
Yeah, if you guys
what's
all
the first?
Go out and grab Dota, I'll put together the montage compilation.
Yeah,
the song. Yeah,
you're the best. What's the first one? Is that WoW?
Start second.
No,
leaving the invite.
League of Legends.
I'm interested.
Yeah.
So funny story. My wife's nephew just graduated his high school.
How is this related?
Because it is, because he had for his graduation he had a LAN party. You know what they were playing?
Oh, yeah.
League of Legends.
League of Legends.
Nice. Okay.
So it's not
sort related.
It's the second.
You just said League of Legends. It's related. I understand.
It's the second most played MOBA. Let me clarify that. Right now, over 3 million players are playing Dota 2. Which is pretty insane right now for a MOBA.
I think we can take them.
But yeah, the main event is August 7th through 11th.
I say 2 months straight of playing at least 2-3 times a week.
Oh, yeah.
At least get us to a good level where we can hold our own a bit and then just go balls in. So
balls deep.
I'm looking forward
mowing
to it.
Mowing through dudes.
We start off with the tip, and we end with the balls.
So, what else have you been doing? So, aside from that, I've been playing a lot of other video games. Almost finished Stalker 1, which is a fair
little...
Does
she know you're there yet?
Huh?
Does she know you're there yet?
No, she doesn't.
Then you're on your way. You're on your way.
I started bringing a cardboard box that says to Peru. I've been doing my Metal Gear Solid.
You need to wait for the exclamation points to go away.
What is this box here?
Hilarity.
I hate that. I hate that they say, yeah, use the box to hide. You do it. You just go like, why is this box here? And you're like, why?
Then you gotta shoot him with. Then you gotta shoot him with a drink dart.
Yeah, you're just like, I put a fucking box.
Or do
here.
The what they call it, QDE or
yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Why in the fuck that did you make
ass,
me
like,
waste a drink
yeah.
dart?
Yeah, it's like, why even give me the box if it doesn't work everywhere? If I'm at work and I see a box in the hall, I'm just like, yeah, there's a box. Who cares? These guys just know where everything is in this entire gigantic underground genome testing place.
I wonder
like,
how serious like Kojima takes himself because. Like, I've done martial arts, and I know at least one of you did. Jason, you've been in martial arts, too.
Yeah, I used to take taekwondo.
Like, and they do the close quarters combat shit, and, like, half of that shit is so fucking hokey. Like, just like, the, it was like gun katas.
Yeah.
Like, yes. I'm just like, oh my god. Like, I don't know, the thing, you know, it's a Kojima, so, like, everything, yeah. like, the acting and everything else is fucking horrible, but it's a good game, don't get me wrong. It's got a... I grew up with it.
Yeah.
I like it. But I can admit now that I think the fucking acting in any Kojima game at this point is fucking hokey as shit. Mm-hmm. I'll probably
true,
get some hate over
but,
that.
But how dare you defend Gun Kata, man? That movie should have been bigger than The Matrix. And New Line Cinema decided not to push it.
We're talking about just Equilibrium at the moment.
Yeah.
Just so people know that we're talking
about. Oh, I didn't realize we were talking
that's
about.
That's what he was talking with the Gun Katas that they would do, the gun.
They probably stole that from fucking Salts or Metal Gear Solid.
Maybe, but.
Just watching that shit.
Stole it from anime, because I know there's some anime.
Yeah, but it looked great.
You know, it looked okay and stuff. It's just, you know, Equilibrium was one of those movies that. No, it should not have been better than The Matrix. Number one, The Matrix should have been better than The Matrix ended up.
Hey, true. Matrix yeah. 1 wasn't bad.
No, Matrix 1 was
two
great. 2
was horrible.
2 was whatever.
2 was okay.
Part 3 was
three
a complete
was,
letdown.
Yeah.
They had the yeah. potential to take the story in the right direction after 2.
You know what was bad when the Oracle quit?
Yeah,
when Oracle quit, you know
it
was bad.
She died.
Did she?
Yeah.
Spoiler.
Well, she quit on the team.
She gave up on life.
Yeah. You can't quit on the team, sir.
Yeah.
If you're making a trilogy, you have to stay alive.
She died and was reborn at the end after...
The Wachowskis drove her to just kill herself. But either way, they had the chance to... I mean, like in part 2 with the whole thing, he stops the squids, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Whenever he's outside the Matrix. And I was like, okay, they're going to lead this to where Zion is another form. They're going to follow the Gnostic Valis, Philip K. Dick series, where it's kind of like you're liberated from one place to another place that is an illusion, but you know it's an illusion. You know it's not real, so you're not in prison, which allows you to transcend to the final place. So you're going to go that route, and they just totally fucked it and
yeah.
go that route. And I was like, well, how else can like Agent fucking Smith download himself into a human brain unless it's already just more binary and all that? I was like, fuck that, whatever. So they
did completely fuck up the logic with part 3.
Yeah, they did.
Completely.
They did. It still looked pretty, but it still sucked.
Yeah.
So.
And what else, sir?
Oh, so anyways, yeah, Stalker.
Yeah.
We got off on Equilibrium
and
I got Matrix.
Off.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah,
right.
That was Trenton me nerding.
So have you changed it yet?
Dishing out just.
Have you changed it yet? You're your boyfriend nerd now?
That's what I'm gonna do next time I have a sex with a girl. I'm probably gonna go like, "Here's some justice, baby." Bam! Everywhere. Let me dish out some justice on your face.
That just made me think.
Have
of
some
the,
ceaseless discharge.
Like, I know justice is a hard thing to swallow.
That just made me think of that
no,
Skittles commercial.
No, I got it now. It's just, you know, I call my dick, what is it, Will Ferrell has that meme he made, which is I call my dick the truth because bitches can't handle it. He makes his own memes, and that was one of his best ones. I'm going to say, I call my dick justice because it's a hard thing to swallow.
He had a good one the other day that you posted, and it was hilarious. So you're going to... Oh.
I know which one you're talking about. I've never seen it. But yeah, I like that. Come at Injustice because it's a hard thing to swallow.
Hey. Yeah.
That's a good one. Okay.
That was great.
All right, so what else have you been doing? Stalker?
Yeah, yeah. I'm liking it. It's I've just been kind of pacing my way through it. I mean, I'm about 25 hours in. It's got elements of Doom in it and elements of Half-Life 2. It has a lot of elements of a lot of classic games. It's not worth playing at the original resolution because it looks old as shit, but if you can get the Stalker Complete 2009 pack, totally worth it. It makes it feel like a more current-gen game. I mean, it's definitely playable at that point. And then I'm going to get into Stalker 2 basically after that. But, yeah, I've been doing that. I got a little bit further into Metro 2033. That game's still good. But then, Monday night after the podcast, I finished downloading Metro Last Light. And that's what I spent the majority of my time playing this week. Like, I played a lot of Metro.
You already beat it, didn't you?
Yeah, I beat it.
How long was it?
It took me about 12 hours.
That's about standard, yeah.
And it's got some replayability. I didn't play it on Ranger mode.
Yeah, which is the no heads-up display.
Yeah, there's less items around, less bullets. And honestly, even on... I mean, I heard some reviewers saying, hey, if you played on normal, it's not hard enough.
Which one?
Metro Last Light.
Oh, yeah.
I don't agree with that. There's plenty of places where I found myself pretty damn low on ammo. I imagine Ranger mode's going to be more of a bitch, but it'll be fun. But it's a genuinely atmospheric game. Like Metro 2033 and like all these games I've been playing are all developed basically by the same people. And it's a group out of Ukraine. And 4A Games. And they're originally did Stalker for THQ, they did Stalker Call of Pripyat and Clear Sky and all that. And they also did Metro 2033. But they did Last Light. And Last Light had... I mean, it's a bit of a love story to gaming. And what I mean by that is Last Light had a really, really, really low budget. Like 10% of the budget... the budget for this game was about 10% of the budget for like one of Blizzard's cutscenes. Like, they did not have the budget that most AAA titles have by a long shot. And I guess they lost power a lot. The guys were basically in a high school gym shivering their ass off while they were trying to develop this game. And so it's a small team. Like, the credits go by in, like, 3 minutes. Wow. But it is a totally next-gen game. It looks like anything you've played. And it looks way better than any of the current shooters. I mean,
it was chugging on your system
on normal.
Yeah, normal. So you had to
mess it around. Yeah, I had to fuck around with a couple of settings, but it looks really good, even on normal.
Yeah.
It looks really good. Like, it's set to push a high-end system.
Well, they were doing a compare. I watched the comparison where they're comparing PS3, Xbox, and PC together. And the one thing I noticed that I thought was funny is that PlayStation 3, they cut out a lot of shadows. They cut out a lot of fucking shadows on it. Other than that, it looked very similar to the Xbox 360, except the 360 had all the shadows back in. And then when you look at the PC version, it was pretty much close to identical on normal settings.
To the Xbox.
It's just it was scaled down to 720 rather than 1080, but all the shadowing was there, all the details were largely there. And I was like, it's kind of weird that they had to cut out like that intro where the door opens up and it comes up to the RAM trolley where the menu screen pops up and everything.
Mm-hmm.
There's a shadowing that goes along the trolley's back end. From the doors moving out of the way and you zoom it in, and that's not there in the PlayStation 3 version at all. They had to take it out. But everything else, PC and Xbox, has all the shadowing and a little bit nicer textures and stuff on the PC. But I was like, I thought the PlayStation 3 could at least handle the shadows.
There's a lot of detail.
Oh, yeah.
I was surprised at how much it was tugging my system. Apparently it has some problems with some NVIDIA cards. The only problem I had was it just was chugging it initially and I had to play the settings.
Oh, they'll probably put out a patch for it that'll...
Well, I really don't mind. Exactly. I'm thinking about upgrading the graphic card here in a couple of checks, so...
You gonna go SLI?
I can't afford that, to be honest with you.
I mean, are you gonna go that way eventually? Are you gonna pick up a card that you wanna get a sister?
I wanna get one of those 660 Ti's. Yeah. And right now they're running right around $200.
Yeah.
The SLI that I'd have to shell out $400.
You're a baller at your job. You can afford that.
You can grab one of them now, and if you plan on doing another sister card with it, that's why I say
you got to get the exact same card.
That's why I say is if you're going to go ahead and grab a graphics card, and make sure it's one that you wouldn't mind SLI-ing, so you get like twice as much. So because even if you go ahead and spend $200 and grab that one, and then 8 months down the road, grab that same card. Because even if Newegg stops carrying it, you can pick it up on Amazon. It'll be like $30 more expensive than what it probably should be at the time. But, you know.
There's a lot of good deals. I mean, sometimes you can find that stuff on Tiger Direct for pretty cheap.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Tiger does some good. I get
that's where I built my computer at many ages ago.
So, but I mean, it's a really good-looking game.
Yeah,
good.
And if you played the other one that had the elements of the supernatural stuff, it does have that still. I mean, still go into rooms and, like, there's, like, shadows, like, people hung themselves and things like that, which are really crazy. I didn't die by any ghosts in this one. Thank God. But, I got to a point where I thought the game was going to end, and it was like 5 more hours. Nice. Which I was pretty excited about at that point. I was like, okay, this is good.
I love it when they do that.
But it, like, there's the thing I thought about, the reason it brought back memories of Half-Life and things like that is it, like, you remember Half-Life basically kind of told you the stories you went along.
Yeah.
You know, through the narration and through the interaction with the characters.
Yeah, with Barney and everything.
Yeah, and it does the same thing. Like, you run into different people, and they carry the narrative. In between every level, there's a little bit of narration from Artyom, and he kind of tells you a little bit about what's going on. But the narration's carried that way. There's some parts, like, in one of the areas where you do run into a lot of tape recorders, and, yeah, you can learn a little bit about what happened in those areas because of the tape recorders. But for the most part, the story is carried by the characters around you. And you're not like a supreme badass. I mean, in some ways you are. But it doesn't take a lot to take you down. So you really gotta plan your resources out. Like, I didn't kill a lot of the really big mutants. Just because they're tough as shit. I didn't kill a single demon throughout the entire game, which I was kind of... I was hoping to do. But they got some really cool weapons. Again, reminded me of Half-Life because they had custom weapons. They have something called the Hellsing. And the Hellsing is like a drum of crossbow bolts. And like a six-shot drum of crossbow bolts on a gun. And it's pressurized, so you pump it up, so you hold down the reload and then hit the action button.
Nice.
And pump it up, and then you got so much air pressure for it.
Nice.
And you can retrieve those, which is really nice for the areas where you don't have a lot of ammo. And so you take down the big rat things, I can't remember what they're called, with those, and it's usually one or two shots. If you can get them in the, right in the head when they're jumping around, that's usually the best way to take them down. But... different attachments for guns and things like that. They have a silent shotgun, which is really cool. I was using a silent Sega throughout that last half of the game. And they do the stealth a lot better in this one than they did in the last one. You basically have this little thing on your watch that kind of shows if you're seen or not, basically. So you go in the shadows, a little blue light goes off. You get out of the shadows, blue light goes on. That tells you if people can see you. And usually, even if you get spotted, if you can sneak around, you can get out of the way. They don't immediately know exactly where you're at, which is kind of a problem with the first one. But the, I went through it and I just kind of like let out a breath. I was like, man, this was really cool. Like, I really had a good time playing it to the point of, I was, again, drawing a lot of parallels between like Half-Life 2 and this game. Not quite as good as Half-Life, but there's not a lot of anything I can think of that's as good as Half-Life. But definitely using a lot of those same ideas, like City 17 versus like desolate Moscow. Really, really kind of similar. The other thing that's really cool about it, though, too, is the last Metro, you're mostly in the Metro. And you go outside a little bit, but you're mostly in the Metro. And this one, you go topside quite a bit more. And the topside is really fucking cool. Just going into... You can't go into the... Like, if you get... There's, like, swamps and things like that. And if you... You'll, like, cross an area and there'll be a log in the water. You can kind of jump on the log, jump off, and get across that little area. But what you don't realize is that little area is like 10 feet deep.
Wow.
And you drop down in there, and then like crazy ass mutants will like swoop down and like eat you if you drop down in the water. And then sometimes it'll just be like scrounging around, and then a mutant will just pop out of the water, start chasing your ass. And they all have different tactics. Like, there's these things kind of like mud crabs or kind of like horseshoe crabs that have these, you know, like praying mantises have those like long forelimbs. They have those, and they're. Yeah, and they block with those, but if, when they don't block, you can shoot their underbelly. And that's how you have to kill them, and they're just, they're a fucking bitch. There's a lot of fucking crazy spiders. Like, a lot of spiders in the game. Like, mutant spiders, which are crazy. I'm just saying that at you, Trent, because I know you hate spiders.
I'm with you. I hate spiders.
And you can't kill them very easy, either. Like, the thing with those spiders is they have a hard exoskeleton, which they're not quite a spider. But you shine your flashlight at them, and they start to smoke, like they can't take light. And so they'll start smoking and backing away and kind of like moving at weird angles.
where they'll back up a wall and over the top of you and drop down, which is crazy.
That's sick. That's what spiders do.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so if you can get them, shine your light on them long enough, they'll flip over, and then you just shotgun and blast them into the stomach. But you'll run into like groups of two or three of them, or groups where there's a shitload of eggs, and they'll just start popping out of the eggs and coming at you, which is pretty gross.
But that
a lot of the areas like that, like
your flares that you can pull out.
No.
So you just have to kind of
rain. You just have your flashlight, which your flashlight's constantly dying because it's on a rechargeable battery.
Nice.
So you have to whip out your recharger and like charge it up for a second, and then like you got like 4 minutes of power.
Yeah.
And then you've got to, usually most of the areas where you find the spiders, they're all these little side areas. And you'll find a like a conduit where you can plug in your little recharger, and it'll turn on all the lights and fry them all. So, but you gotta make it through all the fucking spiders, and the spiders suck.
Nice.
But they also have all these like webs all over the place, and so you pull out your lighter, light the web, and it like keeps you from slowing down. But that game, again, I can't say enough good things about it. I'm really looking forward. Again, I don't replay games all the time. But once I get another lull where I don't have something new to play, I'm going to go back and play it on Ranger mode. And, again, have a blast. Like, Metro Last Light is definitely, like, a near-perfect game. And I can't say enough good about it. Especially considering what the studio had to go through. And, I mean, I've seen some negative reviews, and there's always negative reviews and stuff. But, like, if you like Half-Life, if you like, I don't know if Doom's a good comparison. If you like Stalker, like it has some really good heebie-jeebie moments, and a lot of really moody atmosphere. Like the atmosphere in that game is perfect. Like you'll hear stuff in the dark, you know. You get a lot of like, there's some cheap scares, but there's a lot of like impending scares, which are really good. But I mean, for a game that's really directed, it's not open world. Like you kind of just have these little quick offshoot areas you can explore as you go through the game. And it just does a really good job of giving you some really good storytelling. I just, again, if you guys get a chance to play it, you need to play Metro 2033 first. But you should definitely play it.
Cool.
So.
Anything else?
Not that I can remember. Yeah. I've been talking for like 25 minutes, so somebody else should talk.
All right, Mr. Tramp, what you been doing, sir?
I don't think that I do anything. I didn't really.
Except tapping.
Yeah. I really didn't play too many video games this week. I was really busy. I did purchase Dragon's Lair.
Yes, I forgot about that.
Yeah, they finally released Dragon's Lair on Steam, and I picked it up, and it's epic. So I wasn't going to buy any games this week. I saw that, and I was like, all right, I'll spend $8 on that. And while I was installing it, he came over, and he was like, hey, did they just release Dragon's Lair? I was like, I already bought it. So we sat down and checked it out, and they have a home version and an arcade version built into it. And that's the difference between the two different ones. There was the arcade version that was out, and then there was the home DVD and the home game versions that came on different systems. And they have the point system at the top, where the longer you survive, the higher your points get. And whenever you finally die, it has you put your name in, just like on the arcade, so it can rank you on the leaderboards. What's cool is they actually have underneath the extras, you can actually watch an entire video that walks you through the entire game and shows you every room.
I didn't remember it being that short, but I think it's because I died so much.
Yeah, you die a lot, and every time you die, it reshuffles everything. So, and occasionally you'll run back through the same room again. I know that one from back in the day. But you basically have to hit every single room in order to get through it. And it'll shuffle and reorganize and set you back, or set you forward, set you back, stuff like that.
It's just like the original.
Yeah, and it's pretty awesome. It's all the same animations.
Don Bluth, right?
Huh?
Don Bluth did it, right?
Yeah, it was Don Bluth. And it's all the same animations. It's just done up in a nice, like, yeah, it's widescreen, of course.
It's up to 720p.
The 720, yeah. And it looks good, and it sounds good, and it's just fun as hell. So, it's Dragon's Lair.
Just remembering all the death animations. I was watching you, I was like, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. And, trying to remember what else I did with it. That's been, I don't know if they'll,
you know, one thing that's crazy about Dragon Slayer, and I didn't realize how long ago, like I did a little bit of research after I found it.
1983.
81.
That was
81
when it came out.
Okay, yeah. That's a long fucking
time ago. It's an old fucking game.
And the first game that ever did QuickTime events.
Yeah.
Like no other game had ever done, like since then, I thought for one reason or another that Shenmue was the first one that did a lot of QuickTime events, or, you know, God of War or whatever, but I think Shenmue was before that. But no, this was way the hell before that stuff.
Yeah, it was basically just picking up on where you're pointing, and if it points the right way, it loads up the new animation screen seamlessly, or sometimes not too seamlessly. Yeah. But you know, and lots of fun.
It's like Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to go to. Is the art style is, you know, it's one of those things where Dragon's Lair screams 1980s. And late 70s type art. Like when
back
you see movies like
are awesome.
When you see movies like Wizards, which is an old animated movie that I love, and you watch that movie, it just has this very 1970s and 1980s style artwork to it, and Dragon Slayer really carries it over. You watch it, it just reminds you of Disney. Twisted Disney is what it reminds you of. And it's so much fun, and it's hilarious as shit to watch as Dirk gets his ass kicked over and over again. Just a really funny game with lots of personality. You never played Dragon's Lair because you're too young, or you just never got a chance to go to the arcade.
You haven't played.
Yeah.
Well, I remember back in the 80s when I was a kid, there was always a line like 30 minutes long to play Dragon's Lair.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was like a cartoon. It is a cartoon. Just all hand animated and spliced together depending on which way you move the stick or push whichever button. You actually have an attack button that you use, and then you just use directional keys to move up, back, left and right, and that was the whole game, was just that those two elements, and but it was just so engrossing because really got into everything.
Well, because you basically had to memorize every single level in order to beat it.
Yeah, and they do have different settings on this one. They have easy setting and hard setting, and the difference is basically the reaction time on the like on the hard setting, which I started off with. It's like that you have to react as soon as it possible. Boom! So it's for whenever you have everything memorized is what it really is. I remember sometimes they swap things. They'll flip an entire room over. Like, they'll move it. I remember they used to do that where you go to one place. Yeah, and they'll flip the room around so all the controls are backwards, which makes it really fucking hard if you're trying to recall it from memory. But lots of fun. I'm enjoying it. I'm going to go back through it probably this weekend and actually play it all the way through once I have a chance. Other than that, I went to Tokyo Garden with, you know, Justin, our friend Vanessa, she was having her birthday a couple weeks ago happen, and I told her I'd take her out to eat sushi this weekend, so it's kind of a tradition thing that on any of our birthdays we go and eat sushi, or hibachi.
I prefer hibachi.
Yeah, same here, that's what I always grab. I grab the calamari, and then I grab, like, something with scallops, like scallop and steak or something like that.
Nice.
They have, like, the best scallops out there.
Steak's not bad.
Huh?
The steak's not bad.
Yeah, steak's never too bad, yeah. And we went up there, and I paid for her and me, so it was a pretty big bill because I told her to get her.
Like $60, probably.
No, it was about $85.
No, she ordered a lot of drinks.
Yeah, well, she ordered that drink, and she got the ceramic cup that she wanted with the geisha.
So you basically paid for the cup.
Well, you pay $5.95 for the drink, and then you pay an extra $5.95 if you want the cup to keep. And she got the geisha one, so I was like, all right, she's my friend, go for it. And we were going to go see Star Trek, but she had to work late the night before, so she didn't, you know, wake up in time. So, I was going to go Sunday, but then I apparently blew a blood vessel in my eye while I was sleeping. I don't know. I just woke up the next day and my left eye was like bright red, and I'm just
You know, if you watch Bret Hart wrestling with shadows, you find out that busting the blood vessel in your eye is a lot easier than
it is. And I don't know how I did it, but it's like I woke up and
any amount of pressure that you put on it is just the wrong way.
Yeah, but it's like the left side of my left eye, it was just bright red with blood everywhere.
Really, that happens every time I get drunk and throw up a lot.
Yeah, and I didn't do any of that, so I'm like, what the fuck happened? So I thought maybe I had an aneurysm, so
That's scary.
At first I thought maybe it's pink eye. I'll wait until Monday morning, and if I wake up a crust everywhere, and then all of a sudden I woke up, it wasn't pink eye. So I was like, all right, sweet. It'll go away. And but it was kind of a weird day because I felt pressure on my ocular cavity all day from all the blood vessels being blown. But did that, and I went up to eat some burgers and shit. So, and did nothing.
You shouldn't eat the latter of the two because it's not good for you.
No, it was good.
What did it look like?
Yeah. Like fries and peanuts.
Delicious.
Yeah. But it was a good day. And that's pretty much all I did. I really didn't do too much of anything this weekend. Just kind of relaxed.
It's always a good time.
Yeah. Went out and had some drinks on Saturday night.
You're young. You're single.
Why not? Definitely single.
There you go.
Having fun with it.
Having fun. 18 and Fancy Free.
Nice. Fancy Feast. That's the other
Fancy
thing.
Feast.
The other thing I call my dick.
I thought you called it Caesar's Discharge, but I could be wrong.
I call it the movable feast. Fancy Feast. Ceaseless Discharge. Well, that's actually the act of coming.
That's true, but you said you were dishing out justice, and I was like,
well,
I thought
that's
it was ceaseless.
Another thing. It's kind of like whatever I feel like calling it. Fire in the Hole.
Oh, now that was the other thing.
Fire in the Sky is another one I call it.
Nice. Fire in the Disco.
Fire in the Disco.
Fire in the Disco.
That depends on if it's a groupie chick, I'll call it that.
If fire in the
Disco. Just a little disco bunny.
I was referring to electric
suits. Yeah, I know you were, yeah. Taco Bell is what I call a vagina. That's horrible.
Depends on who you're going with.
I call the vagina Taco Bell. I call the butthole Taco Bueno.
So. That's harsh. All right, Mr. Jason, what you been up to?
Call it the In-N-Out Burger.
Not much again. Life got in the way again this week. I did squeeze in another hour of Infinite.
Yeah.
You just need to finish it.
But I know. Well, the wife really wanted to get to. Back in October, we recorded Hatfields and McCoys when it was on the History Channel, and we just never got around to watching it.
It's so really good.
So this week she was like, we need to watch this and get it out of the way. It's been killing me. So we did that like three nights this last week.
Yeah, they're like hour long episodes, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. 2 hours.
Oh, they're all 2 hours? We have it recorded too.
So it's good. But it's good. It's good.
I did do that. I forgot. I finished my Stephen King kick with Storm of the Century.
Nice.
Friday and Saturday. I forgot about that. Anyway, go ahead.
And then,
who's that having it? Has Bill Paxton and
who else? Storm of
the Bill Paxton.
No,
Hatfields and McCoys.
Oh,
Bill Paxton
is that Kevin Costner? Or?
Yes. Kevin Costner. Yeah. And, yeah.
A bunch of people. The judge is the dude from Tombstone. Oh. The one that was the relative.
Yeah. Mm.
He's in a lot of movies that you don't recognize.
Yeah. Typically Westerns.
And if you watch Avatar, the main general, the bad general off of that, was the cowardly part of him. The one that Kurt Russell cut with his spur. And he tells him, you tell him hell's coming! And he's the one that scoured away. It went from a weakling in that to a big bad guy in Avatar.
But, and then this weekend I ended up had planned on playing games and going and seeing Star Trek.
Yeah. Is that pretty good?
And then, instead of seeing Star Trek, instead we figured out porch was leaking. Two whole plywood panels on the ceiling of the porch just ruined. So I ended up having to tear that apart, fix that, put it back together. That was my week.
Wow.
Another week.
A week. I bet she's happy though.
Yeah, yeah. I really enjoyed Hatfields and McCoys more than I thought I would. For being History Channel's first real venture into doing a mini series,
yeah,
it was good.
I enjoyed it.
What have you been up to, Earl?
Man, I've been up to a lot.
Yeah.
A lot. So last week, dealt with the baby thing and all that, and then started the Epic Trilogy.
The Epic Trilogy?
Yeah. Mass Effect.
Oh.
That's right. Started that, played for about a couple hours, got to the part where you had to disarm the bombs. Just disarm the bombs.
The bombs on
and then my luck, what I do is I'm an idiot. I just like make the little loop. I'm like, oh, let me go down this ramp. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And I could never find them. So it took me a couple days to figure out what to do.
Did you get to the primer at the end, the marker?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got to the beacon. Yeah.
Okay, so you got
I got past the beacon, and then I was falling asleep yesterday, and I have no idea what the people were talking about. I'm like, I'm just going to turn this off. I hope I didn't miss nothing.
Basically, you were blamed for everything that happened. So
pretty much.
You're blind for the
app. Pretty much is what I figured. But then, my family had a garage sale at my aunt's house, and I was selling some stuff.
Did you find out about those AT-AT walkers?
I did. Okay. She had an estate sale, and some dude
came in, and he sells, he turns around and sells them. So this is the thing with my sister. She had this estate sale, and she doesn't listen to this podcast, so I can say this about her. So my sister-in-law, it was her brother's stuff. So people would come in and they'd be like, "Oh, that's really cool, yada yada yada." Well, you don't really want a backstory. So her and our friend Sam, they had everything combined, and it's like, "This was my brother's." Ah! I want to tell the story. The guys were like, "Hey, how much is this?" "This was my brother's stuff." "Okay, fine, but how much is this?" So then she felt like she's being disrespected because you didn't want to hear the story about how it was her brother's stuff and how he liked it. So she wouldn't sell it to anybody. Well, this dude and his friend came in and they cleaned up, and he was like, "Oh, can I refer to him as David's stuff?" She's like, "Yeah." She was like, "Big old dick." They cleaned up on everything. She made like $1,200, but come to find out, they resell them on internet and have their own store.
See, I would have paid them for the.
I know, but she, but they would, they played the game. They were like, "Oh, that was David." How long did he have this?
They got played, is what it is.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she sold a bunch. She sold almost everything to them.
Are there any AT-ATs or AT?
There's. My phone. I don't know what this one's called. Hold on. I took a picture. She has all of these left.
If it's the Imperial Elevator, I don't want it.
No, it's not the Imperial Elevator. Where is it at?
Or the transports or something like that?
No. It was an elevator. It was where the two red guards stand that? Outside of for the Emperor's throne.
That's AT-ST.
Yeah.
Oh, you got it? Yeah. You still got that?
Yeah, she has that.
I will. Okay, how much?
I don't know. I have to ask her. Anyways, they took all the
fucking
story. No. But they took all the AT-ATs. They took almost every single one of the Millennium Falcons.
Ah, fuck, man.
Yeah, I think they left the black one. No one wants. But yeah, no. So yeah, they played the game right. They played the game right. But anyways, so my other friend, my aunt and everything was having this big garage sale and stuff, and my mom, I had a lot of my stuff in her garage for like 6 years. Well, like a lot of the games that I gave you guys in my top 10. When I was planning this stuff out, because we had to go through this stuff, I found like all the video games. I'm like, "Oh man, it's like, I don't have the PlayStation 2 anymore. I don't know what's going on."
I'm loaning mine.
And then we went to the garage sale on Sunday because it was Family Sunday, and she goes, "Oh, I found this box. Well, I have to see if it works because it didn't have a top on it. So it's got like a lot of dust. But I have my PlayStation 2, I have my Super Nintendo." So I was like, "Oh my god!" So yeah, so I get to go pick that up tomorrow, clean them off, turn it on, see if it plays. Both of the really, you know, you could buy the PlayStation 16 gig memory card for like a buttload of money, or you could buy the really the knockoff, but it had the button that you press and it switched from side one to side two.
Yeah,
two of those big memory cards like stuck in them. I was like, all the games I played. So yeah, so I get to go through there and find all the fun games that I used to play all the time. So I'm gonna get to go through all that. So
I'll give him like $25 for the AT-ST Scout Trooper because it's out of the package, and and people on eBay will sell for like $50, but they have zero bids.
Nice,
because the AT-ATs are worth about $50. Oh, I know. $60. but the Scout Trooper, I'll buy that for like $25.
I'll tell you, you'll pay $25.
Does she have more than one or just one of them?
I think she has two or three of the ATSTs.
If she has two ATSTs, they're the same colored ones, and they're in good condition, I'll pay 50 for both.
Wow, one for 25 or 50 for both. What a deal!
Actually, I'll do 40 for both or one for 25. How about that?
I'll tell her what she said.
Yeah, I'll do 50 for both, but shoot the 42.
She gave me a bunch of comics to have Chuck look at.
Actually, you know what? You should just tell her, "Oh man, those AT-ATs, the ATSTs, man, no deal. I'll take them and then I'll buy them from you for $40." Yeah.
That's funny. But I'll tell you.
Yeah. Help out Earl's game fund there.
There you go.
Yeah, dude, that's enough to buy.
But I think she has one or two Millennium Falcons left. I know the black one's still there.
If she has one of the regular Millennium Falcons, I will price check, and I might buy that because I love the Millennium. If it's one with the old ones where the back comes off and they have the smuggler's bay and the floor panel and everything, and the cockpit, the cockpit opens up and stuff, I might buy that because that's
I'll go over to her house and take a picture of of that stuff too.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I've been doing that, and then like I said, last Saturday was graduation, so we had a lot of family stuff, so I didn't get to play much. But yeah, no.
That's probably the case for a lot of people.
Yeah, so, you know, I had a good time doing that and finding the PlayStation. I think he wants something. Fire. Yeah, the lighter. But no, finding the PlayStation 2 and the Super Nintendo. I only got one game on Super Nintendo that I could find, and it's Donkey Kong Country. But my wife's like, oh, I like Donkey Kong Country.
It's not bad.
So I was like, let's play
that's
it.
Still a pretty popular game.
Donkey Kong Country actually wasn't bad. I think they carried it too far with all the offshoots.
But yeah, no, I got that.
Well, they brought back the new the 3D one. That's
Yeah,
but I found a bunch of the games. Like, I found Wild Arms. I found
Wild Arms.
I love Wild Arms, and that was one of the games I put on there. I found a wrestling game that I really liked. I found a bunch of PlayStation 2 games. So many great
stuff. City of Lost Children in there anywhere?
I don't know.
Ghost in the Shell for PlayStation?
No. Oh. I got the DVDs, but now I don't have the game.
But they released a Ghost in the Shell PlayStation game back in the day where it was basically you're one of the... it's been forever. What are they called? The Kacha...
What are you talking about?
Exactly.
The spider bots. I forgot they're
yeah. Kacha, what game?
No, Ghost in the Shell.
I wouldn't be able to tell you.
It's not Kacha.
You're like, what game? What?
Nah, yeah, I don't know.
It's anime. It's never mind.
I watched Ghost in the Shell. I'm trying to remember what they were fucking called, but...
Oh, yeah, Prince of Persia games, too.
The game is basically you're riding in one of those, and it's a shooter game, third person, and you strafe left and right, go forward and backward, and you're just basically going through levels.
It was actually really fun.
It was great. It had a techno soundtrack, and it was really cool, and it went along with the anime, the storyline did, and stuff, and it was actually a really fucking fun game, and I love that fucking game. And you can never find every other Ghost in the Shell game that came out was either just porn based or just horrible. Yeah. So,
well, the porn based wasn't absolutely horrible. No,
they were sliding puzzles.
Where once you put
together the image, you turn naked, and you're just like, what?
Yeah,
that's
funny. Yeah, but yeah. there were a lot of teenage days spent putting together those puzzles.
Well, those
for
were
the
all,
naked.
Well, the funny thing is you had to grab the emulators of those because those were all the Japanese released PC titles for Ghost in the Shell. Even the Neon Genesis Evangelion PC titles that came out were all porn based, like hentai manga crap.
Well, shit, you watch a lot of the original anime from Japan, and it's porn based.
Funimation cuts
all the good stuff out. Yeah.
It's sad. The Japanese are so far ahead on their acceptance of like the manga and stuff that it all looks creepy.
They are child pornography.
That's horrible.
They are.
That's
schoolgirls and octopuses.
Yeah. Well, no, I remember there's a documentary that Hideaki Anno, the guy who created Evangelion, did. He actually did a real life documentary that was about schoolgirls who returned to prostitution so they could afford the newest fashions, and they were 16-year-old, 15-year-old girls who got out prostituting themselves so they could buy the newest t-shirts and skirts and backpacks, because backpacks are a huge thing over there, which we now have the bug bags and the counterculture scenes. Dane or whatever he may have, forgotten something he makes. And by the way, the big bug bags you see at the clubs and stuff, and backpacks like that have been a big thing in Japan for a long time. And girls were actually turning to prostitution or to buy them. Just, that's really fucked up. They're like, businessmen pay us in equivalent to America, man, $100 to give them a blowjob or jerk them off, and then we go off and we buy the newest skirts.
But look at what is her name?
Amy Winehouse? Yeah, she's
No. Courtney, was it Courtney Love? I don't remember. One of them, I forget. It was on an episode of the Graham Norton show. She was talking about it. She went and worked in the strip clubs in Japan.
Yeah.
She was 14 years old.
Well, this is a difference.
That's creepy.
But that's what I'm saying. Japan, their businessmen are so creepy.
But there's a difference in that, though, between stripping and being. Now, I know that in Japan, there's a lot of strip clubs where.
Was the age of consent way lower there or something?
Age of consent's a little bit different over there, yeah. But it's one of those things where.
That must be why.
Basically, over
like the
there,
thing that I have a hard time with, like
there's
anime.
There's courses. That's,
that's
the big
thing. The problem I have with anime goes right along with this, and sexing up little girls,
just feels
weird.
Over there, you have to remember they still view women as, if you've had your first period, you're a woman now.
Same note, though, they also view women as basically, for instance, a lot of bars, the more higher end bars.
Holy fucking
will hire,
shit!
Will hire courtesans, basically.
Yeah.
What courtesans do? They're not even called courtesans, they're basically called hostesses. And what they are is you would go to a regular bar here.
It's like a madam.
Well, not even that. You go to someplace like Hooters here.
Yeah.
The Hooters girl's job is to basically, she tends to you but every other table.
Yeah.
And she converses with you, stuff like that. Over there, they hire women that they're not going to handle more than one customer at a time. They handle only you. They sit with you. They drink with you. They yeah. you know, they call over the hostess to bring drinks. They are your personal yeah. companion for the night that sits there. And they're trained to talk about everything from politics to sports to art, everything like that. And the more they know, the more expensive yeah. they are to keep around.
And depending on what tier of restaurants you go to, they're either called hostesses or they're called by the actual name of the position, which is a geisha.
Yeah, basically, yeah. And that's the whole point, is they're a companion, just to basically sit there with you, drink with you, talk to you, make you seem interesting and all that. And so you're paying for the drinks.
It's basically what they do at the strip clubs. The girls, they give you the fake name.
Exactly, but the girls are not going table to table. No, they're just not. With you, and yeah. that's the thing. And so women are viewed, I mean, in that type of a situation, the yeah. woman's not viewed. I mean, prostitution really comes down to, there's a lot of people who argue that prostitution is a human rights thing.
You're looking at.
But is it really a human rights violation for, it's illegal for somebody to give away sex. Sorry, it's legal for somebody to give away sex, but it's illegal for them to sell it. Yeah. Except for in Nevada. That's the only place where it is legal. But they say prostitution leads to crime, but when you actually criminalize something, it's when it becomes dangerous, because they can't go to police, they can't go to anybody for help. If a prostitute gets raped or stabbed or beaten, all she can do is go to the hospital to get treated. She can't report the crime because she's committed a crime in the first place. Yeah. Because you call it a crime. That's where Nevada, where prostitution is legal, there's no danger in it whatsoever. There's constant health checks, there's constant regulations set up, all that stuff. And in Japan, that's kind
of
how
a lot of the places over there screen their customers before.
Exactly. In Nevada,
yeah,
women
still,
actually have to do a visual check.
Like, there's got
to
be something kind of fucked up with it. Like, I was just looking at this with Earl while you guys.
Underage girls is fucked up.
Underage for them is 12.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I looked at that.
So I was looking through the law, and it's 13's the age for sexual activity.
Yeah,
yeah. But again, like I said,
but I wasn't looking at anything.
No. He said Japan, age of consent. I said, you're with
them. But like I said,
I was looking at it, and I guess the age for consent for marriage is 16 over there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, still seems fucking young.
Well, dude, there's places here in America that the age of consent for marriage is actually 16.
Well, look at
it.
But if you go into the...
It's not even by state. It's by county.
But if you go to the hills, though, you're an old maid if you ain't married by, like, 16, 17,
yeah.
so...
Yeah, but here in Oklahoma, when I was in psychology class, we had to do a test thing, and the laws used to be, and it was... It might even still be the same, but at the time that we looked at it, what we could find, because it's really hard to find... Is they're saying that basically, if you're 16 years old, you can have sex with somebody as long as they're under the age of 65 years old.
That sucks.
That's fucked up. And that was in Tulsa
That's
County.
Creepy.
Not Oklahoma City, not Creek County, not anywhere. That was in Tulsa
County.
That was Tulsa County's laws. And then it said that basically, it's like a guy I know, I'll just say Clayton, because I hate this motherfucker. I get annoyed.
His last name
is Dirty. No, that was his last name. Clayton, he's a piece of shit. By the way, he was banging this 16-year-old chick. I don't talk to this guy at all, but I knew the story because I'm good friends, Jay, with the guy who's good friends with him. But he was like, yeah, Clayton was banging this. You know, he's in his 30s. He's banging this 16-year-old. And the parents got pissed for some reason, and they called the cops, and the cops showed up, and the cops were like, well, you kind of knew your daughter was hanging out with him. So she's hanging out with a guy in his 30s, so obviously... probably fucking, so we can't arrest them. Because that's age of consent. The cops can do shit at the age of 16.
Dirty.
So as long as the parents know that the daughter is hanging out with somebody who is an older gentleman, the cops consider that pretty much that they can try and push it, and if you get arrested, it's just going to get thrown out.
Yeah, but it's still fucked up.
No, it is fucked up. But that's the way our county works, is they'll let it go.
But
and if you end up going to court, it'll just get thrown out anyway.
But going back to that whole thing, I mean, just looking at that kind of makes me realize why... Kids basically are sexualized over there, at least in animated.
Oh, yeah,
that
they
makes
are.
A lot of sense now.
Yeah.
But also over there, same time, they still have a lot of the older mentalities from when life expectancy wasn't as long as it is now.
Yeah,
but I mean, I'm in my 30s. I don't find a 16-year-old attractive.
No.
And if you do,
you need to get yourself checked out.
You need to get a real doll. Just get a real
doll.
Well,
no, let's face it. There have been times I've walked through the malls here. And gone, ooh, she looks nice. Then I hear her voice and I'm like, oh, you should not be wearing
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly. No, you see the girl and you're just like, I wonder, I mean, she's hot, but I wonder, it's,
but
it's,
yeah.
it's, even though she ends up being 16, it doesn't take the fact the way that she's Spider-Man hot. Walls. How is not she that old and she's hot? When I was 16, girls were attracted because I was 16.
Right.
Now that I'm older, 16-year-olds should not be attractive,
no.
and they should not dress like that. And you're just like, that's kind of fucked up. It's worse when you're walking through the mall and you see this chick. You're like, oh man, she's cute, and she's staring at me. And you're going like, oh yeah, my mom's gonna take me to go take my driving test next week. You're like, ah, oh, bad, bad, bad.
That's why you just
and it makes you feel dirty.
Yeah,
it makes you feel
dirty. That's why you
don't
go to the mall.
It's not my fault that they should not be wearing that.
I agree.
Yeah,
and if it were my daughter, there is no way in hell
we should turn this.
Yeah, let's go ahead and just turn this. Is this that's that? Moral of the story: don't go to the damn mall. That's what I say.
If my daughter wore a skirt short enough, I would just walk up behind her and spank her really fast with something. And be like, that's what you get. That's what you get. But that's what you get. See, you're wearing something. I don't even have to put you over my knees. Bam! There you go. Go change your fucking clothes. Then I tell her about the toilet monster. Potty training. When you're potty training kids,
and that's
the ultimate thing to tell them is you tell them they have to pee as fast as they can or poop as fast
as
they can.
That's how you traumatize
the
child.
Because if they don't, their
crotch-thulu
will come up and bite their genitals off.
No, I was telling Trent earlier that
Jesus Christ.
Potty training. We're potty training our daughter, mm-hmm. and she makes smart-ass comments.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I need to notate that down. Crotch-thulu.
Yeah. Or if your kid has a problem with getting out of bed and wandering in the house at night, when they're mm-hmm. growing up, you put salt outside their door every night, and when they ask you why, you say, well, that's because it keeps the homicidal maniac ghost in the hallway. So if you ever come out in the hallway at night, he can get you. This salt protects you. You ass. Stay in your room. Put it around their closet too, because they shouldn't be playing.
Did your parents do this to you, Trent?
No, it's just something that you should do.
No.
Speaking of
it, you don't make your child scared. No,
I've always thought it'd be great if you had the money, you build a replica of a Klingon bird of prey in the backyard or out in the field somewhere, and you build this thing and you own the land so nobody can ever go there, and you raise your son as if you're Klingons inside of this ship, and then one day you simulate a crash. You simulate that you've crashed, and you die. You're laying there with, like, you know, makeup on to make a look like you're bleeding. You got an I-beam going through you, and you go, like, you must go out under this planet and learn to assimilate. And just let him leave. Just let him leave. He thinks he's a Klingon. He's never been to Earth before.
Absolutely.
Just see what happens. It'd be fucking hilarious.
So on that note.
That'd be awesome, yeah.
On that note. We're going to take a break.
Jesus Christ.
These are ideas I've had about parenting.
And welcome back from the break. Was a nice one.
Long.
Yep. And hard.
But I showed you some Dota.
And you showed me your Dota. You did. It's nice.
And me and Jason sat here and talked about Star Wars.
It's true.
Sorry,
you
Star
did.
Trek. And Star Wars.
And Star Wars, yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
You did.
We had like 30 minutes of
nothing but J.J. Abrams bromance love.
They were talking about where they need to take Star Wars.
Embracing what J.J. Abrams has done with Star Trek.
Yes.
The reason I took him back there is it's hard to get a good idea of what.
We all know
he treated me like a lady.
This isn't a courtroom. You don't have to explain anything. So, you know.
He treated me like the way I should have been.
There's no doll to point anything out at here.
I was going to say, I was trying to show Earl what it was
to be a man.
To be a man.
I thought I got to learn something.
Let's try and dish some justice out.
Well, I showed him.
It's interesting.
Because you can pick up on live streams. Like, there was none of the tournament matches were going on, but some of the live streams for different games were going on.
Yeah.
And so I just showed Earl. I was like, hey, there's like 500 people
so
watching this.
Yeah, I liked it. It's kind of like the...
It's flaccid justice, but it's justice all the
same. No, I enjoyed it. I think it'd be something that I'd have to practice at, but it'd be fun.
Well, you can practice with bots, or you can do co-op deathmatch.
Yeah.
Or you can do co-op versus bots, which I've done before, too. To be honest with you, I've only played like 3 or 4 live matches.
But it's interesting. I like
I told you about Tuesdays and Thursdays, I'll jump on there with it. So
I'm going to jump on there tonight.
But I'm working on a website tonight, so.
But yeah, that was cool.
All right, so let's talk about the question from last week and see what we got as a response.
That's what we're doing now.
It is.
Okay, good.
Dag nabbit.
Your mom commented. She says she misses you.
She said, "Bring home
the bacon." The question last week
we
is: what do you
obey, Earl?
That's right. Bacon makes everything great.
So last week we were talking about what spoilers.
Yes.
And the quick question was: what do you feel makes something a spoiler? How do you feel about them in general? So Earl, you didn't get a chance to ask that. So
no,
or answer.
No, and like I said, this is how I feel about it. If it's going to be a spoiler, it's got to be something that's. Along the plot line. If you go off and just talk about a cool thing that happened in the movie, that's not really a spoiler. Like, oh, this guy did this. But if you give away the main plot line, that's what the spoiler. That's what I look at as a spoiler. But again, I mean, I don't like the people that just tell you about it. But people are like, oh, have you seen this movie? They're like, hey, no, I haven't. I don't want to hear nothing about it. I'm going to go this way.
Yeah.
But again, like I said, with like Blood Dragon, I'm not gonna play Blood Dragon anytime soon. So with the Bad Movie Club, I listened to their podcast.
Was it on the No Quarters or?
It was Bad Movie Club No Quarters. So they came over and was like, we thought this would be great because it was
bad
all.
Movie
yeah, the bad. Yeah, they said that this would make great because it is all, everything from the 80s that made games cool and things we loved, even horrible 80 movies. So they just did a thing on that about Blood Dragon. So they took over that podcast. I listened to it. I thought it was funny. If I want to know spoilers, I'm going to find them out. If I don't want to know spoilers, I'm not going to be there when someone's talking about it.
Nice.
That's the way I look at it.
So I was going to get to some of our comments. Rusty said, anything gives away a major plot point in the story. Also, anything gives away a major cool, awesome, insane sequence. Generally, spoilers suck. Other responses we got, Matt says, I'm generally okay with them. I've said this before, but I think it's really about personal experience when playing a game, reading a book, or watching a movie. A lot of recent games I've played, I read a lot more about them online or watched some of the Let's Plays. I can separate what I know about the story from my own experience, so sometimes knowing what comes up can make it even more exciting for me. Sophie says, I hate them. I want to know spoilers. I will go and listen to a spoiler cast or try to find them. Hate it when people randomly blurt out major spoilers for something new. Had the end of Bioshock Infinite spoiled 2 days before it came out, or after it came out, as I thought it would be a really good thing to put on Facebook. If it's been out for a really long time, then fair enough. If they really wanted to play it, then you would have by then, but new games, no way.
Now, one thing we talked about it between us was that, you know, forums and stuff, like you were talking about with Doctor Who.
Yes.
With the screw-up where they sent out the final two episodes for the series.
Yeah, the whole thing. And it was early.
Yeah, we talked, and the admins on the Facebooks have said if you post spoilers, you will be banned, yep. You know, for the UK people that had not seen it yet. And we were talking about forums back in the day, and they still do it now, but I remember, like, Deus Ex, the original Deus Ex, there were forums set up that were talking about the game, and they would sit there at the very top. They'd say, if you post spoilers, you're banned. If you want to talk about spoilers or game story, go to this place instead. And they have a whole other forum set up for it. And you don't see that as much now. You see people have one thread that says spoilers on it, and they have to click on that to get into it.
Yeah.
And even then, it's on some forum setups, you can actually see what the individual conversations are before you even click in there. So it's kind of like,
yeah,
they can set up.
I hate the random people that they know who wanted to see it, and like they go like for a movie and they go and see it. And like with me, I always say I want to watch Star Trek in the movie theaters. I probably won't, because I'm all about, like, I want to go see it. And wife's like, go watch it. And I'm all like, I'll go watch it some other time.
Yeah.
But then I end up watching it on HBO or show Redbox it or we're in on pay per view.
Or
the people
need
that,
to drag you there when I go.
You know, I don't. I'm horrible at going out and seeing things. But I hate people that you meet and they're like, oh, hey, blah, 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 blah. And they just know you haven't seen them. Like, why would you do that?
They just pretty much give the whole
movie
away.
And they're douchey. And they're tools. And like, I hate those. I don't like that.
those are the troller spoilers, and I hate those.
They do it because they thought they find it humorous, or
But like Money or Chuck, he'll be like, "Hey, have you seen it?" I'm like, "No." He goes, "Oh, then I'm not going to talk about it." And then I'll be like, "Well, I'm probably not going to see it for a while, so go ahead and tell me." He'll be like, "Oh, okay." Well, so that's how it should be.
That's how me and my manager, my boss at work, before he got fired, we would talk. He would watch The Walking Dead.
Yeah,
and. He would sometimes miss it on Sunday, and he'd be like, "Oh, I'll see it later on this week." So we wouldn't talk about it. When he did see it, we'd only really talk about it if the other two guys weren't in the room, because they don't watch The Walking Dead, but they show interest in it.
So you don't want to spoil it.
Yeah, for if they decide to watch it. There's some episodes where nothing really happened, where we will go ahead and talk about the whole episode, because it's not a big episode. We're just like, "Oh, yeah."
Yeah, but the characters change so much in that. Like,
Especially this last season. You cannot talk about any episode from this last season, because
pretty much. I mean, Daryl makes a turnaround.
Character development every episode.
All of them.
It's kind of like Revolution. I know a lot of people don't watch it, but at our job, me, Collins, and Lori watch it, and Collins will say on Tuesday, "Did you watch it?" And I'm like, "No," because I'll have to watch it on Hulu on my phone, because we do this on Monday nights. And I'm like, "No, I haven't watched it." Like, you're fine. Don't worry about it. No.
Thank you to DVR.
No, listen. We have too much stuff on Monday nights. But anyways, so I'll just watch it on Hulu on my phone.
No free turners.
And then we'll go to watch it. And I just have a 722. And I'll go to we'll go to talk about it. And Lori's like, "Oh, I haven't watched it yet. I can't watch it without Aaron. We'll talk about it Wednesday." And then we just
get because Wednesdays. You probably still have a better smartphone than him, and he just finally got a smartphone.
Yeah, the exact same.
No, we have the exact same one. But here's the thing: if you have Sprint, because the S4 came out, the S3 16 gig is only $99 now. If you can do an upgrade on your account.
Ooh, burn.
Ooh, so I think if I get the S3, I'm going to have to upgrade to it.
I've just about thrown this phone to the
window. I heard you last week talking about that.
Well, he threw it down my room, and I was like, "Jesus, man."
It's like, you know what?
Who pissed you off?
I listened to it. You know what it reminded me of is when we played D&D. You always have a big thing of dice, whether it's in a bag. My friend used to always, Dungeon Master, would have it in the goblet. If you touch his dice, you were in trouble. But he'd roll it, and if he did like four or five really horrible rolls, he's like, "It's your last chance." And he'd roll it, and everyone has done it. But he'd roll it, and it'd be like a horrible thing. And he's all
just
like,
"Toss it!"
He like put holes in his wall, broke glass, and then he'd another one out. And he's like, "If you know what's good for you, you'll do right." And then like he'd have like end up killing the entire party.
He's all like,
"That's how you do it." You know what I'm saying? I'd be rolling it, and I'd be like a warrior. I'd be like, "Come on, I need to 9, 8, 10. I'm like, "If you roll again, you're going to be dead to me." And I roll, and it's like a 1. And I'm like, "Screw you," and I throw it. I've lost so many dice that way.
I kid you not, Earl lost a dice, literally. "You're dead to me!" He threw it across a 200-square-foot room and just...
It's like the thing where you kill the roach and you leave it for dead as a warning sign to the rest of them.
Yeah.
That's what I do with dice. I ain't playing around. I lost so many dice that way. I'm just all like, "Nah!" And the rest of them are like, "Oh, hey, we don't want to be messing over like that." But, yeah, so that's what that reminds me of when you say you need your phone.
Well, you know, I don't know if you had this problem, but if I don't have both my feet on solid ground...
Yeah, you were talking about that. Wait, like the moisture, if I'm sweating and I touch it, and it's everything. Open 19 tabs.
Or it'll just randomly start calling people.
Exactly.
Like if I don't have both feet on the ground while I'm texting or I'm trying to make a phone call, it'll just start randomly going through my list. Mm-hmm. It'll call.
Exactly.
I'm just like, "Oh, I'm not trying to do that." Or I'll have, I was listening to my phone and I put it in my pocket while I'm listening to music. My headset, and it goes into text-to-speech mode or something, or voice dial mode.
Oh yeah.
And I'll start trying to figure out who I'm trying to dial. It's like, "Dial Mark." It's like, "No, don't dial. I'm trying to listen to a fucking song."
Pandora.
And it just starts fucking throwing out different apps and shit. And it's like, I'm done with those fucking phones.
I
don't even want to mess with it.
My wife said that was over at my aunt's house, and she was like, "Well, I seen the thing they did. They put a Ziploc bag up, and they write down what they want. Then you just throw spare money in and stuff until you get what you want." I'm like, "Well, I get home. I'm all right. New phone, and we're gonna put it up on the calendar. We're just gonna put money in it."
Yeah,
because, it's time I upgraded my phone.
I want to upgrade my phone before I upgrade my graphic card. It annoys me that much. I hate texting.
Like I said, the Samsung 3, they marked down 9 of 16 gig. All I need is 16 gig. I don't plan on filling it up.
LTE.
And it's gonna make us, and for us, it's gonna be like a whole new upgrade, because your external phone memory on our phones is 320 megabytes. It's horrible. The smart card they give you is it's 16 gig. You're like, "Oh, nothing saves through the smart card." But with the S3, it's all just the phone. That's it. That's all it is.
I stream everything from Amazon Cloud. Because I've been uploading my whole music library. That's a whole other discussion.
I'm excited about getting a new phone. But anyways, so what do we have for email?
For email, we do have something.
Oh, who is it from?
It's from Ian.
Makes a return.
He says, to the nasty one, the Trent Show, and Toe Jam and Earl. Gents, sorry I've been out for a while. This has been a crazy time of year for me with work and whatnot. What I'm actually writing about has to do with what happened during that time off. So my power brick on my 360 decided to die. During that time, I went old school and plugged back in my Nintendo 64. In retrospect, I realized something about myself. I realized that I forgot how to play a game for the fun of playing a game. The achievement system on Xbox Live has poisoned me. I find myself conditioned to play games to achieve meaningless points, not to play the game for fun. Has anyone else felt this way about gaming?
Love you, Ian. What a guest.
Ian.
What?
Oh, nothing.
You got a piece of candy in your pocket?
Everybody's felt that way, but it's one of those things where I think there's a certain game
that starts you on that achievement pouring hunt where, you know, like, for me it was Halo Reach with the achievement of jumping off the cliff and air assassinating somebody to break a fall that you normally would have died in, which I then translated into multiplayer games and doing that in Invasion Mode where I jump off the spire, air pack about halfway down and then kill somebody from a free fall and then jetpack back up. And after that, I became kind of like, oh, that's fun, and I got a lot of points out of that.
Well, it's just, it's the whole clink noise.
Yeah.
Like that noise that the achievements make, for some reason, makes people go, whoa. And I don't, for a little bit, I had that problem. But, I mean, coming from World of Warcraft, like, I didn't get achievements before then. Like, I really didn't start playing Xbox 360 till 2009.
When I started playing, I was in my apartment, so 2008.
And nothing else had achievements really. Besides, I know that you had trophies in PlayStation, but they were always kind of fucked up.
I was like, after switching over to PC, predominantly, it's not about achievements because you don't even notice them when you're playing. There's only one PC platform I actually do achievement hunt on, and that's Uplay games. And the reason
that's
why
because I give you shit.
Yeah, because I can actually turn around and buy DLCs with my Uplay points.
Or you buy wallpapers or
like,
items inside the game.
Like Anno 2070, you know, you can buy an extra transport ship so you can transport goods faster.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, you actually get shit for it. Xbox doesn't do that with their achievement points. I always felt that they should. They should be a refundable item where you get these and you can buy
but then they wouldn't have so many things you can cheat on.
Well, I remember back in the day whenever Xbox 360 was, you know, pretty much every game had a wallpaper scheme.
Yeah.
You could grab for it, you know, it had a Mass
Effect make my
one.
Own.
Yeah, they had a Limbo one, and you could grab like these themes that would decorate your friends list and everything else. They don't really have those so much anymore.
No, then they changed it to the new layout.
Yeah, so they don't work anymore. No. So all those wallpapers that you spent money on 160 points for, I didn't buy any. I think I bought Limbo if you had to pay for that one. But the thing is that all those wallpapers people bought, like Gears of War and shit, you can't even use them anymore.
But what it does is on the Xbox, it does the background. Because, like, I got Catan, and it was free.
But it doesn't have the cool backdrops for
not anymore.
And that's kind of a way, because that's
when
one
it used to have the,
grab,
what did they call those? Those
the
called,
tabs.
Yeah, the tabs, and it would come in and, like, slice it.
And that's a waste of money. Had it been something that you could spend achievement points on to purchase, then I wouldn't be so. I wouldn't feel bad for people who.
Or you could just do what I did and just import pictures from your computer in.
Yeah.
Which is basically all I do. And I mean,
see, you talk about the achievement sound. I always have my TV down really low. I have to put the subtitles and everything so it doesn't wake anybody up in my house. So I never hear it go boom, boom. I'll be playing and something will come up, and I was like, oh, it came up, and I go to look, and it goes down before time. So I'm like, I got something. Heck, I don't know what that was. I just keep playing.
Or a friend logged on or something. Or you just disconnected from it.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
Now achievements don't matter anymore. But it's like some achievements, like you were talking about Apocalypse Ren earlier about him and
Dark
Souls.
Yeah, I forgot to mention earlier, but he had mentioned to me earlier last week about doing some online gaming, and I was like, yeah, I'll play anything, you know, just find me online. And so Saturday, because I had a 4-day weekend, going through a myriad of different games, we decided we wanted to play StarCraft 2. We played like 3 or 4 matches, and he kicked my ass in most of them. But he was talking about, because he achievement hunts, he was telling me he got all the Dark Souls achievements in both PC and Xbox 360, which is kind of insane.
Yeah.
But, I mean, and there's some people, like, that's an accomplishment. If you can get all the achievements in Dark Souls, that's really fucking incredible. But, I mean, there's a lot of people that do the same thing with, like, the fucking King Sneak or whatever from Burger King games.
The Panther Score and all. I mean, there's some games that I went out and either inadvertently got all the achievements on, like Dead Space original.
Well, I got them all in Costume Quest, but that's because I just played the shit out of that
game. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I played Dead Space 1, like, probably 5 different times, and I got all the achievements that way. L.A. Noir, you pretty much get all the achievements just by playing the game and doing it the right way.
Yeah, most of them, but I wasn't going to go back and through and play it. Like part of L.A. Noir is just, I mean, once you play it once, it's kind of hard to go back.
Yeah. But, like, for me, achievements, meh. Borderlands 1 and 2, great, because they were funny pop culture references, always. Yeah. But, like, the only things I really achievement were with are maybe, like, Assassin's Creed 3, where some of the achievements are really skill-based.
Yeah.
So, after I played through the game once, then I'll go back and try to get those achievements.
Yeah, but you go to, like, some of the other games, like some of the Guitar Hero games, that give you, like, 2 achievement points for this and that. It's like, what, like 500 achievements in Guitar Hero 3 or something crazy like that?
Yeah.
Like, no, maybe not 500, but...
No, but it's...
Like 200.
It's a ridiculous amount.
Yeah, there's a lot. And they really don't pay out a whole lot. It's just, I think, like, if you do Through Fire and Flames by Dragon Force on... I remember I actually went for this one, not to get the achievement, but just to actually do
it. On World Tour?
No, it's to actually get through it without missing a single note.
Yeah.
On free play, even. You just have to get it.
No, I mean World Tour.
Oh, yeah. Well, this one was on Guitar Hero 3.
Because
it was the credit song. I went back through, and that's how I learned how to play Guitar Hero on Expert Mode, was because of
that Fire song. Flames
Dragon Force. And I didn't do it because there is an achievement for playing on Expert Mode. There's an achievement for playing on Hard Mode without missing a note. I just did it so I could basically... Because I thought if there's a song that's going to teach you how to just play this game on any difficulty, it's going to be that one, because it is fucking insanely hard. And now I can pick up Beatles Rock Band and rock the shit on any. I can play like any of those songs on hard mode. I love playing it because they're fun as hell. I love the Beatles. But some of those achievements, when it's something that actually teaches you something, when what they're asking you to do, that serves a point. When you're going off trying to unlock secret weapons, but you have to get achievements to get them, that serves a point. When it's just a completely asinine, stupid thing like take out 10 people with a Molotov, you're just like, what's the point?
Or unlock this door.
Yeah, pause the game.
Yeah, you would.
Dark Souls has some of the best achievement structure, whereas you beat the game, you get like 5 points.
That's it.
No, you get 90.
Oh, you do get 90?
Yeah, you got 90. Okay, I felt all right about that.
What game was there? Was some game that if you beat it, it just gave you 5 points. I can't remember.
Probably Guitar Hero.
We talked about that before. I can't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember which one it was, but it was a total fuck you that you just get 5 points. You're like, really?
Yeah.
But then it follows up with, I think, it gives you start a new game plus that gives you the other, I think, 45 points or something.
So was Ian's the only email we had?
Yeah, and I wanted to lead up to that because you play games differently than a lot of people, Trent.
Yeah,
Jason does.
I play them naked and upside down.
Well, you like difficulty, and so you play on hard mode?
Yeah, I play hardcore and insanity most of the time.
Again, depending on the game. Yep, same here.
Elder Scrolls, I do not touch on harder difficulties because I'm melee-based, and when there's nothing but magic casters, you get your ass handed to you no matter what.
Well, it just raises the level cap of the enemies, which is bullshit.
If there's a game that I know I'm just going into it for fun or is completely... useless to up the difficulty, you know, then I don't mess with it. But otherwise, I'm playing on hard.
And what I'm segueing to is, like, we need a question. So, one of the questions I thought about using is just, what do you play your games like? Do you like to play them on hard, or do you like to play them on normal or easy?
Are you there for story, or are you there for story and challenge, or are you there strictly to test your skills?
And for me, it's just fantasy games aside from the Elder Scrolls franchise. It's fantasy games I'll do it just because. Or strategy games, sometimes I'll do it.
Yeah.
But on shooters, because I'm not amazing at FPS games, I just do normal or hard, and that's about it.
Strategy games, like RTS stuff, I'll do it on like harder difficulty settings once I've played through it. So I usually play those on normal mode because, one, every RTS has its own take on the whole genre, so things are a little bit different, and you have to
adjust strategy.
Yeah, and like... Defense Grid is one of my all-time favorite RTS games I play all the time, and it's tower defense. You know, it's building towers and trying. It's like Sanctum, the way they did that, where you're trying to funnel people through as many alleys as you can to take them out. And every turret does something different, you know, and every turret has its pros and cons, so it's really learning the game. Then you can go back through and play it on, like, fast-paced mode, on difficulty, like, highest difficulty, and make it a real challenge. But I was going to say, the other reason why I play the games on harder difficulties is because it unlocks other game modes. Sometimes, like, Bioshock Infinite's a good example, where it unlocked 1999 mode, and I really wanted to play that because I like the idea of what it is, so...
How about you, Earl?
Yeah, I'll do normal. That's what I usually play all my games on.
I got a big dick.
Swings. But with, like, Bioshock Infinite, 98% of it I played on hard, except for two battles. So... I said normal, then if it's too easy, then I'll go up to, if it has advanced, or I'll go to hard if there's no advanced. But that's all I normally do. I just gauge my gameplay. I mean, if I'm playing it and I'm having a fun time on normal, I'll just keep it on normal.
Well, I was telling you, with Mass Effect, once you beat the whole series,
yeah,
if you want to borrow Mass Effect 2 a little bit longer, go back through it and just play Mass Effect 2 on Insanity mode.
Yeah.
Because it really teaches you how to play the game, like, just immensely, like, much more than what you would have picked up on normal or easy mode.
And will transfer over to multiplayer.
Yeah, and that will transfer. Cool. Actually, if you, I think, I know that if you start Mass Effect 2 having beaten the game on the hard difficulty setting, I think there's a perk.
You know, if you're going to go into a silver or a gold, yeah, those skills really transfer over.
Also, mining in Mass Effect 1, picking up the deposits and stuff. Do all that Mako shit where you're on the planet looking for crap and all that. Okay. Do all those, because if you find all of them and you have a large supply of minerals and stuff, you get a perk for it. If you end the game rich, you start off with extra credits in Mass Effect 2.
Oh, that's cool.
That really helps out.
Oh, make sure I'm rich.
Yeah,
because
that will help out.
Oh, it does with buying different... Because you buy weapon upgrades and stuff like that. They just don't give them to you. You buy a lot of them. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Awesome. What you got for news there, Justin?
I got a few pieces.
Well, let's do it. Let's talk about this.
All right. It's getting kind of late.
It is getting late.
And anyways, so news-wise, a lot of us, or at least me and Trent, know who Spicy Horse is. American McGee's the guy that did the Alice games.
Yep.
Well, he's trying to do a couple of different games. Right now, he's got two in the works, and he's trying to figure out which one he's going to do first. He's got a Kickstarter campaign right now for Alice Otherlands, but he's also asking for feedback on a game he's thinking about, or he's had in development for a while, or the idea in development for a while, called Oz Zombie.
Yeah.
Which is basically, I guess, the Scarecrow is a brain-loving bad guy.
Yeah, we actually came across that a while ago. I don't remember if we talked about it on here. I remember coming across it.
Yeah, so anyways, it's based on the Oz TV show, but he's trying to decide
Prison?
If... Huh?
The prison show.
I know, right? HBO. Oz.
But he's trying to figure out which one he's going to do, so he's looking for fan feedback.
To be honest, I would rather see him... Okay, alright. Alice, American McGee's Alice, is one of my all-time favorite games because it was just wonderful to see and it was really awesome. Alice Madness Returns. The end of that game was pretty fun. I like the real world shit they did where you're actually in England and the way they did the art style was great and all that. But whenever you go up against certain things, like, did you play it?
I went through most of it.
Did you get to the part with the two mice?
No.
From the where you have to fight them as bosses? And it was really much more campier than he needed to go with it. It actually kind of sucked at times. I was just like, this is not... what American McGee's Alice should have been. I don't know why.
In some ways, he's kind of like the Tim Burton of video games. Sometimes he sucks, and sometimes he's really cool.
Well, Tim Burton sucks a lot of the time. But, he has... Well, I won't go. That's a whole other discussion. But anyways, American McGee's Alice, though, I was a little disappointed. The game's fun. It's got some cool stuff, and it looks fun, and I owned it. I like the game. I pre-ordered the damn thing. And I enjoyed it. It's just it seemed overly campy at times. I would hope if he... What's he doing? Which one is he talking about doing?
Oz Zombie or Alice Otherlands.
Otherlands? I think that's supposed to be, like, the darker side of Oz. Like,
Yeah, that's what he's saying. Like, the Scarecrow is going to be a zombie, basically.
Well, I mean, Alice.
If I only had a brain, then. But
I think it's about Alice of the Lions. It's supposed to be like.
Yeah, that's something totally different.
Yeah, that's.
But he's trying to figure out which one he can raise more money for. If he can raise more money for the zombie game, then he's going to do.
Well, heck, zombie games are so popular right now.
That's the problem. That was so popular. Is he just buying into the hype of doing zombie games?
I don't know. I hope he doesn't.
Or should he stick with Alice? I'd rather see him go ahead and finish the.
Finish the Alice series.
He can make enough money off that to go and put the money towards paying everybody and then doing another Kickstarter for the Zombie Scarecrow.
Yeah.
So
interesting. What else you got?
So one of the other things is people know that I like CD Projekt Red, which does The Witcher, and it's doing the new Cyberpunk. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. Some of the guys that are doing that are also doing another dark RPG. It's called Lords of the Fallen, I guess. Anyways, Lords of the Fallen is going to come out for all platforms, and I guess it's going to be a third-person ARPG, which I'm not sure what that means.
The action role-playing game.
Yeah, that's probably it. Yeah. So probably in the same vein as Witcher, but a completely different story. So, which looks cool. I don't know what it's going to be, but I know that those guys do quality product, so I'll be interested to see what they do with that. Especially since I seem to like so many Eastern European games lately.
Yeah.
Germany makes good board games. Just saying that. I was just telling you. They're
precise.
Catan.
I don't know, man. There's a German guy out of my office, and he fucks up everything he touches.
Make you a board game.
He's a genius, man, but you tell him to move a Mac, he picks it up and the whole screen.
What was that?
What did you ever... whenever he fucks up, have you ever just... Das Boot.
Nah, it's called my Doom Call.
What else you got besides Lord of the Fallen?
So Little Big Planet is releasing a DLC pack with costume packs for their sack boys that look like Mass Effect characters. So you can have a Shepherd sack boy or a...
I was actually looking at a picture for that. The sack boy croaking actually looks funny as shit. I like it.
Is that going to be on the current PlayStation or?
Yeah, Vita and PS3.
See, I really don't care about PlayStation 3 right now. I'm more geared towards the next gen for it, or to be impressed by it. And I'd like to see that on PS4 because I plan on buying one, but probably won't be there.
One quick thing, just talking about how there's not a lot of games coming out. Yes, software sales have dropped by 42% over the last NPD. And right now, the top-selling games... This is not a bad thing. I mean, Injustice is the number one selling game of last month, followed by Dead Island Riptide and then Bioshock Infinite. So, we're not going to really mention Call of Duty.
I would have thought Bioshock Infinite would have been above Riptide.
But, well, it's...
For last month.
So, it came out in March.
I mean, there's been a lot of people still picking it up.
I think it sold almost 4 million units. So, yeah. I mean, it's not doing bad.
Yeah.
So we were talking about achievements earlier, and Steam's doing something called Steam Trading Cards. Basically, you can get these trading cards from playing different games. So right now, there's only certain games that you can get them, get the trading cards from. And right now, it's CSGO, Team Fortress 2, Dota 2, Portal 2, Half-Life 2, and Don't Starve. They're going to add more. But basically, you get to craft badges based on the trading cards you get. You can trade them with other people, so it's a way of showing people
kinda
what you're
like playing. Hat trading.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's kind of like the hats and items.
You don't do that.
I don't do hat trading. I won't badge trade either, but I don't know. This goes back to that whole trading card thing or that whole achievement thing. It's kind of playing on that. Mm-hmm. So
at least they're being a little bit creative with
it. Yeah, it's different. Yeah.
At least you can do something with them.
You know what, though? Don't craft badges. Just collect the cards. Be a hoarder.
Yeah.
What was the thing about Nintendo?
So, I'm going to save that for...
Last.
Anybody else have any news?
Nope.
I don't.
Nah, not really. There's nothing. All right.
Nothing that's really piqued my interest.
Oh, the new Castle. The new Wolfenstein.
Oh, shit. I forgot to talk about that last week. Yeah, Wolfenstein's coming out.
Yeah, they got a new Wolfenstein.
And they released the... preview for that same day as the anniversary of D-Day, or is the anniversary of Normandy?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they released it on that day, and I guess the trailer for it is showing kind of more of a futuristic.
The New Order. That's what it's called.
Right? Yeah, the New Order. But yeah, it looks cool as shit.
Here, I got the thing for it here. This came from a peeps for a Bethesda.
A Bethesda mailing list?
Yeah. They said, let's take a look here. Currently under development at Machine Games, Wolfenstein The New Order is an action-adventure shooter that reignites the franchise widely recognized for pioneering the genre, which is true. The New Order is scheduled for release in the fourth quarter of 2013 on the 360, PlayStation 3, and PC, and next-gen consoles, so they're going to cover everything. You can currently go around and find the trailer if you want on YouTube, of course. They really didn't give us too much details about this in the email, but the trailer...
The trailer's pretty badass.
That, yeah. I'm looking forward to it, man. I like Wolfenstein.
I didn't like the last game that much, but I like original Wolfenstein.
Also, don't forget about tomorrow.
Yeah, so tomorrow, I'm going to set my DVR for the Xbox release. It's going to be on Spike.
I'm going to have to record
that. It's like 10 o'clock Eastern time?
In the morning?
Yeah, in the morning. Yeah.
So we might actually, I might get to watch it before I go to work.
I got to sneak a peek at work. If my boss gives me shit, I'll be like,
I have to record it because we have nothing but CNN in our pod, so I'm going to have to record it.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I couldn't get away with...
Well, we can, but Marcus has CNN on all the time.
I'll just tell him to change it. We don't want to watch stuff about Xbox.
He won't. He's
I don't
so
give a
anal.
Shit about CNN.
He's so anal.
Just tell me you want to change it this one time.
Just tell him his fart steak.
I have the remote by my desk. It's not like he can take it away from
you and Danny can overpower Marcus.
I know. Danny's not an Xbox fan, so he may let Marcus try to change the channel.
Anyways.
This thing about Nintendo was interesting because I do like to watch the Let's Play videos.
So, you know, a lot of people watch Let's Play videos. I do. Everybody here does. We do them every now and then. Basically, Nintendo's not so cool with that anymore.
They're douches.
They're saying that videos that go past a certain length could be bookended by advertisements from Nintendo. So, basically, I guess Nintendo people aren't wanting them to share Nintendo content. They only want to do it in a safe and appropriate way, which goes back to the original Nintendo marketing from back in the 80s where they didn't want blood or anything else like that, which is kind of ridiculous. But I don't know if they don't like it because you have people making coarse jokes or whatever across the gameplay videos or whatnot, but they're not wanting to let people report it anymore.
Stupid.
So, I don't know if
stupid,
they're going to want...
Stupid, but within their right.
It is within their right, but, I mean...
Was it within their right to try and, you know, write the phrase, it's on like Donkey Kong?
Yeah.
Where they tried to blast the Oreo commercials for using it? Yeah, I don't...
Are they going to charge us for revenue if we run a review on our site?
I just say that we don't do Let's Play videos of anything Nintendo, then.
My thing is
talk about it a lot.
Here's my thing. I don't have the Wii... I don't have the Wii U. I don't have I got the 64 now. But my thing is this, I mean, sometimes there's on the Let's Play videos that I'm like, "Hey, I'm never going to play this game, but I'd like to know about it."
Yeah.
So I watch them cuz they're interesting and they're informative and it's a way I can keep up with the culture.
You know, sometimes I'll do that with games I know I'm not going to play. I'll just sit there and play or watch shit.
Yeah, and it's
instead of watching TV, I'll watch fucking videos.
Well, at the same time, it could also be that they want to...
Well, they want the revenue.
Well, they want the revenue because what they want to do is they want... This is from a marketing point of view, because this is what I deal with every day, is when you have somebody do a Let's Play video, like when we did the Resident Evil Raccoon City one, that was all about the game. We had our logo at the front, our logo at the end, but that's all it was. We showed, I think, the Capcom logo and the game logo, the actual game title.
Yeah.
But there's no advertising to the customer for anything. If they basically corner the market and say, we're the only ones who can do Let's Play videos for our own games, it's not just going to be that game they're fucking showing. They're going to throw shit at you at the front and at the end of it for the branding of their company, for any games that they think are related to that.
They're also worried about the total revenue, so some YouTube members make money because they get so many views. They're worried about that revenue that they're quote unquote losing from that.
Yeah.
Which to me, like, you think about a game review website or a podcast, say we made money doing this. Yeah. Like, would they want a cut of the money that because we talk video games? Like, that's fucking retarded.
But here's the thing. A lot of times people get a lot of hints on the Let's Play because there are, you just gotta face it, there are people out there that are devout followers of certain YouTubers like Shay Carl, Tobuscus, Wheezy Waiter, the list goes on and on. And they do, PewDie, I don't know, I don't like that guy.
Cutie Pie. I don't like that guy. Anyways, but they watch it, and they have their own spin. So if Nintendo takes it, and they have their own person doing it, ain't nobody going to watch it because they only want it. They only watch that for the simple fact that it's that person.
People listen to the show for our personalities.
I never would have got Dark Souls if it hadn't been for Wheezy Waiter. I like Wheezy Waiter. I like his sarcastic wit. I like what he does. He started a gaming channel. He put Zelda on there. I've already played Zelda. I watched it because it brought back memories. They did that. Then he was like, it's Dark Souls. Someone told me about it. He started playing it. And the funny thing is, he doesn't make some of them, like with Tobuscus and QDP or whatever, they make the comments on it. He starts to play it, and he'll just start talking about random things in his life, and then he'll get back to the game a little bit. So he doesn't make those comments like the other people do. But again, I wouldn't. A lot of the games that I picked up recently, I wouldn't have had if it hadn't been for the Let's Play video.
Yeah.
But if they take it and put it on their own channel, and they have some guy that you don't know commenting on, oh, this is blah, 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 you're not going to watch it. You go, this is boring. Are they going to hire the YouTubers to come in and do it? If, you know what I'm saying? That's the thing. That's going to be interesting to see how it unfolds. But a lot of people just watch those Let's Watch videos because it's the person. They are developed followers. They'll tell you on the YouTube, hey, I'm playing this game. Come watch it. And mindless sheep, that's what I'm going to go over
see
here
is
to watch
them
it.
Gearing it more like Major, no, it's Major Nelson on Xbox.
Yeah.
They grab a personality who is going to basically become the new Nintendo Let's Play person.
Yeah.
Who says, you know, today we're going to be talking about this, or they can even do the achievement hunting like Major Nelson does.
But if you don't care about that person, you're not going to watch it.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's kind of the difference between like listening to something like us or DVGP or No Quarters or Elseworlds. Like having somebody that's like a grassroots podcaster that doesn't have any tie to these companies, that don't have any kind of revenue stream coming from it, that don't have like any knowledge of like the inside of the industry or how much stuff makes and doesn't make. Like, we don't have access to all that shit, but we play games because we like doing it. So we're going to have different opinions than people that look at a game and say, oh, this isn't going to sell because it's too much like this. Whereas we're going to be like, hey, this game's a lot like something else I played, and I really like that. That scratched that itch, so I like it. So we have a different perspective about that kind of stuff.
Well,
and all these podcasts, even that I'm talking about, disagree on some of these games.
Yeah.
I know that the No Quarters guys don't like Dark Souls.
That's sad.
But it's okay. I mean, that's their opinion. They really like Blood Dragon. They really like Far Cry 3. Like, we're going to all have different opinions.
Yeah,
opinions based on our experiences and not how we think it's going
to
work in the industry.
Well, that's the thing, though. Again, from a marketing standpoint, they're eliminating as much non-bias as they possibly can. So if they take that over...
Yeah. There's no way to call bullshit.
Yeah. So. Then they're going to be pumping their game, and you're not getting an unbiased opinion
anymore.
It's
like they bring out Yoshi butt fucks Luigi.
Right.
And like, this is the most awesome game in the world. It's a total shit.
But
game
from their standpoint, that is a valid marketing view as well.
I guess what I'm getting at, too, though, is like I listen to some of the bigger podcasts once I run out of podcasts to listen to. It's like, man, this is unoffensive and boring.
Nintendo's being Big Brother.
Right.
They're being Big Brother. That's what it is.
But again,
the man bringing you down.
1984, man.
But a lot of people that do the Let's Play videos just do it because
they like doing it.
Well, they like doing it, but also, this is their third channel. They're going to make a lot of money off of it because they tell their people, hey, I'm going to be playing this game. You need to watch it.
Yeah.
And people will do that. And again, because there's a lot of people that are, unfortunately, in this day and age, they're crazy followers of these people, like 3 million strong, 9 million strong, and they'll do whatever that person says. And that's what's nuts about it. So if you take it over and you say, I'm the one that's going to do it, and you're a part of Nintendo, you may never have anybody watch the Let's Play videos because you don't have
Well, there will always be people who
what
watch it.
What's that noise?
That's a car.
Yeah.
No, they're... I don't know.
But there's going to always be people who watch it no matter what. And that's
the
thing. I mean, you can say, well, they're not going to watch it because it's, you know, it's biased dribble coming from the company themselves. And hey, guess what? People are going
to
watch that.
I still watch some of the press videos to figure out what I'm going to talk about. But what I'm getting at is people have a personality and an outside opinion aside from what the company wants.
Yeah.
And that makes some kind of revenue because it's something we do that we enjoy. I mean, you can't start taking, like, journalism publishers, and start charging them because you talked about, you know, Far Cry. in your freaking review and then start asking for revenue for that because you talked about your game.
Well, you could be like the happy birthday people. Sing that song no matter what.
That's a little out there, though, because they're not going to do that to game reviewers, like actual...
That's almost the same thing.
Well, no, no, no. I mean, like, say they're not going to try and charge IGN for talking about, you know, the new Nintendo game because, one, Nintendo gives them crap and basically says, hey, review this game.
So why should they do it to the YouTubers?
That's the thing is, the YouTubers, I don't think they're really aiming this towards people like... the bigger networks, like the ones that are like IGN, has their own YouTube stuff.
But they have the right to do that. They got the contract. But they don't do a Let's Play video. None of them do that.
But I say that people like that who do those things, though, are supported by those companies to do the videos. The independents, on the other hand, that's who I think they're really kind of trying to nail down on because, one, they basically, unless you can put a disclaimer that says basically the views and commentary, including this video, do not reflect the company.
I think
it's not advertising for their actual company either. It's just talking about the game. Yeah. And three, they can't control what's being said about the game. Though,
but I don't think it's any of that. I honestly believe it's they get the game from a lot of the YouTubers that do it, they get the game from the fans. They're like Tobuscus. He'll get a game from a fan. It's like, I played this game. It's awesome. You should play it. And the problem is, what they're doing it for, it sounds like, is he gets paid, like you said, for as many views as they get. Yeah. So, one, Nintendo's not raking in on that revenue because someone else is getting it.
He made $30,000
And like I said, he may make off that channel for each of them videos. He may make, you know, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, and it's just for a playing a game. It didn't happen until the Let's Play videos took off big gold.
See, I'm more going over not why I think they're really doing it. I'm going over why they're going to probably say they're doing it, which is, one, because the videos are not representative of what their company is or what it stands for, which comes down to commentary, where PewDiePie is constantly swearing out the ass. Nintendo game,
see, I don't like that.
They don't want that on Mario Kart, first off. And anybody, a parent who would go out and look at a video for his kid, say, well, maybe I'll see if this game's good for my kid, and the guy's sitting there swearing like a fucking sailor the entire time. Yeah. Two, there's no differentiating. Because somebody could go like, well, I don't know who PewDiePie is, but he's got this Nintendo logo on his video, and he's talking about the game, so he probably, that doesn't look good for them for an uneducated viewer. Third, the money that's being made off them if these people are getting hits on their advertising, stuff like that. Four, what's being said. That's more important, in my opinion, of what they're actually going
to
do.
To me, it's still freedom of the press.
Because it's basically spin control. So they wanted to basically say, okay, people that we pay, and I'm going to say it, people that we pay to write reviews for us, to give it good scores, are being basically undermined by these people who are not being paid. Because
they could make fun of a part on the game.
And they're trashing the game. So basically, there's more reviews trashing the game than the ones we pay for that actually say that the game's good. Because, honest truth, game companies do push for good reviews.
Oh, I know.
And you kiss the developers.
That's because nowadays they say that your bonus, your payout's based on the fucking Metacritic score, which is bullshit.
Exactly. So they basically, you know, pigeonhole reviewers to give good reviews to games that fucking suck.
Yeah, I know.
They do that.
So like you were talking about with the Mary Jane pizza, all the good reviews. You know, it's
those are people who work there. Exactly. You know, and friends and family. But either way, that's...
Pharmaceutical rest.
There's a couple of bigger websites that don't do that. But for the most part...
There's a lot that do, though.
Well, sure. We watched the same thing happen to G4.
Oh, yeah. No, I was going to bring them up. When it was their TV. Yeah.
You know.
They're so big anymore, but they're gone.
G4 used to be great. I used to love G4. And now G4 isn't even going to be G4 anymore. Now it's turning into Cheaters and Cops 24/7. That's all going to be on there.
Yeah.
And E3.
Yeah, and all that crap. And it sucks, but that's the way it goes. And with independent reviewers, you cannot control independent reviewers. Nope. A game comes out that they're trying to push hardcore, say Zombie U. They're writing, oh, this game's fun. You know, reviewers are putting out good ones. The ones they can't control, the ones who don't give a shit, are saying, like, ah, it's mediocre. Then you got the independents who are saying, this game blows ass.
And it's the true statement.
No, the game's actually fun.
Well, No. What I'm saying is to them, that's a true statement.
To them, it is a true statement.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's a matter of opinion. It's a matter of perspective. Yeah. A matter of opinion.
Just like with movie reviews, people are like, it's the greatest movie ever, and you go, and it's a piece of crap. Or they go, oh, what? Like the whole thing with, what was it? There was a movie that came out that Roger and Ebert walked out of after the first, like, 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And after the first 10 minutes, it was great. It was just really horrible, horrible toilet humor for the first 10 minutes. And I can't remember
the movie right now. But that's pretty much what I see is the control. The control because they feel that either they're losing sales on games because people are going to these independent channels to find out what's going on in the game. And they're worried about, one, buyers being offended and not being able to differentiate between who is a representative of the company in a loose term or even who is not a representative of the company. They can't tell the difference because, one, they think, well, there's parents buying games for 12-year-olds. These parents don't play games. How do they know that this guy doesn't actually... He doesn't work for Nintendo.
Yeah.
Yet he's sitting there swearing more than freaking Moses or whatever. And it's just like, what the hell, you know? And also the money and all that they're losing by people trashing games... An honest opinion saying that this game blows ass, and those bad reviews outweigh how many good reviews there are, and it kills their push, their initial push to release games, because people are looking at, well, even most gamers know that if you want an honest opinion on a game, you don't go to a video game review website that's a big league that obviously is sponsored, paid. The game was given to the place by the company to purposely be reviewed. You don't do that.
You listen to somebody that spent their hard earned on it.
Somebody's got an honest opinion, and they're going.
Andy, we're gonna go to a point like with us or any of the other casts that we know where you spend 65 of your hard earned on a product, and if it sucks, you're gonna be pretty pissed about it.
Yeah, it's the same thing in every industry too. To be honest, I mean, in music, when you submit your album to be reviewed and say like the Weekly here in town, or even in the Tulsa World.
Yeah.
They try and give it to somebody who appreciates that genre of music, but a lot of times that doesn't happen. And it ends up being one guy who reviews all 10 of these albums for the week, and he just trashes every single one of them because he's a Yanni fan.
Yeah.
And so that's the honest opinion, that's his honest opinion. It really is his honest opinion because he's not into that. But at the same time, you know, the number one way to do it is if you know the guy, kiss their ass.
Yep.
That is basically what it comes down to.
And that's what they do.
The big
game companies, they kiss your ass.
Yeah, they kiss your ass.
But if you do this for a job, though, and you're taking a game like Max Payne or something like that, and you play it on every single console, and you've lived and breathed that game for like 2 weeks, and replayed it, like you're going to have a different opinion as somebody that played through it once on a single platform and enjoyed it or didn't enjoy it, you know?
Yeah.
Like you're just going to have a different opinion.
That's what I like about Matt. Matt will say he hates open world, but at least give it a try for the first couple hours and go, look, I can't play it.
And that's
the way you should look at it. Even if it's not, like I said, you may not like death metal, but just give it a chance. Listen to a couple tracks. And if you have a headache, you know what? I got a headache from it. I didn't like it.
The final thought for me is that, in the words of Ishtar, the 1980s movie Ishtar, telling the truth can be dangerous business.
It is.
Honest and popular don't go hand in hand.
That's basically
how it is that these game companies aren't paying these review companies to tell the truth. They're paying them to tell what they want them to tell. Sometimes you get that one guy who says, this game blows fucking ass.
And then the
same company writes a counter review of somebody going, oh, no, this is good. So you'll find two reviews for the same game where they're arguing about which one's right. Because the initial reviewer is just like, no.
I guess one more point that I was going to bring up, just listening to other podcasts from the bigger companies.
Yeah.
And hearing one of the guys on the show going, yeah, I didn't review that because we didn't get a copy.
Yeah, and that's
just like thing. I'm just like, really? You didn't think to go buy it like the rest of America?
And that's what sucks is whenever you get to that level.
Like, yeah, I didn't. Yeah, we thought about going and buying it, but we didn't get a copy, so we didn't review it.
Yeah,
it's like, fuck you.
And that's another thing is that if you burn a developer, sorry, a distributor, because it's not the developer, it's the distributors. If you burn the distributor once before by giving them a shit review, they will not send you another one. Unless you beg for it, for the most part. Unless you say, oh, no, we plan on giving it.
I will say one thing about Quick Looks, too. Like, one of the great ways that I screen games that I'm going to buy, even for the show, and I mean, we give some pretty decent reviews most of the time, and part of that is because I screen a lot of games before I play them. I mean, I'll go through stuff where they got first looks or something like that and look at something and say, hey, does that look like that's going to be my cup of tea or not, before I even jump in, because I don't have enough time for that.
Yeah.
But... Yeah. Long story short, I mean, I do that because, you know, I don't have enough time for a lot of shitty games.
Nor do I have the money. Well, I mean, It's not so much the money, it's more I just want to make sure that what I'm purchasing is I'm getting my money's worth.
Yeah, you don't want to look at it and say, that might be a good game when you know it's going to be a crap
game. I've been burned a few times. I mean, Dungeons. Or
Colonial Marines.
Yeah, Colonial Marines. Yeah.
That's what I said. I like wait until it's in the $5 bin, like at vintage stocks. And then I'm like, look, it's $5.
I couldn't have done that with Metroid.
Let me just see what happens.
But see, the problem is there's some games out there that you know that if a game is epic, it does not go down in price that
fast. No, it doesn't.
I mean, I've been Left 4 Dead 2. I'm actually still thinking about buying Devil May Cry. It still hasn't gone down in price.
And Left 4 Dead 2, after how long now? It came out, when does that, 2009.
Yeah.
And it still costs like $35 to $45.
Well, you can get it cheaper now.
Yeah. You can now? Yeah. How much is it now brand new?
14.
Yeah. 14. I think. Brand new now.
Walmart has it for 14.
So I remember last year when I was looking at buying it because I got rid of it so I could get Resident Evil, it was still like $35.
It came out in 2009.
Yeah, it came out.
Skyrim is still $39.99.
Well, see, I bought that on PC and Xbox, but I got rid of my Xbox version. But on PC, you'll see it on sale for like $21 all the time.
Yeah. Well, like I said, Skyrim is still $39.99 at Walmart. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But you'll still.
But you know what? Dark Souls. When was Dark Souls released?
Dark Souls was 2 years ago.
Yeah, Dark Souls is
It's 14. Yeah. You can get it for $14.99 now.
Yeah, and that's because it wasn't.
But you know what? It's a steal.
It is a steal. It's like Dark Sector.
Yeah,
is a fun game for what it is. It was one of the games I was really looking forward to for like 5 years before it finally came out.
1999.
And then they finally released it, and I was like, okay. And I played it, and I was like, it's not bad. But it dropped from the $60 mark to the $20 mark within the first 2 months it was out.
Yeah.
And now you can get it for like $5. It's still a good game, though. Dark Void is another one where the storyline is completely ridiculous, but the gameplay is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Dark Void is a good game just to
Dark
play.
Dark Void was fun.
Yeah. And even Justin will agree that
it's a good game.
The storyline blows, but man, you can get it for a steal at like.
On which one?
Dark Void.
They're like $3.
You can get it for $3, and it is probably one of the most memorable gameplay experiences you'll have.
If you like The Rocketeer,
they do it perfectly.
It feels like you're playing The Rocketeer, but just completely different story.
Yeah. Prey, leave it be. Yeah. Don't buy Prey for $2.99.
Hey, but you can make fun of
it. If you look at a game and go, this could either be good or bad, you pretty much just judge
it. In my opinion, for $5, the game could go either way.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I go to vintage stock when I would play random games. It's $5. I'll pick it up and see how it plays.
Yeah, man. Anyways.
All right. So I think that's going to be...
That'll be it.
We mouthed off about the mainstream media from time to time, but we do have nothing but respect for journalists.
Oh, yeah.
We really do, but we do mouth off about...
There's some journalists I don't respect.
There's ones that you can tell are obviously, we'll call it on the take.
Oh, yeah.
They're basically shilling out a good review just because somebody wants them to.
There's some journalists I don't respect.
Yeah. You read their review and you're like, they don't talk about this or this or this horrible mechanic or that the game's bugged out completely.
Otherwise...
That's one of those games. What the hell?
The majority of the journalism world, we appreciate you.
Yes.
So on to new game releases.
That horrible.
New games. I'm not seeing anything on here new.
No, look at this. Go up. You have one called Men's Room Mayhem.
I see some Kirby's.
What the F? Passing Time. What the F? Yeah, but Kirby's is amazing.
Yeah, but these are re-releases for Wii U, so you can get Kirby's Dream Course or Kirby Superstar.
But the incredible
Kirby's Dream Land 3,
The Incredible Adventures of Van Helsing, which actually, in my opinion, does kind of look like a fun game.
Look at that one right down there. For
3DS. We don't really review any 3DS.
Ooh, Zelda's coming out for 3D.
Yeah,
3DS, Zelda, Oracle of Ages, and Oracle of Seasons.
Spelunk.
No, if that's the same game as on Xbox 360 Spelunky. I know.
No. That's not the same. That's a different one. I think.
Is this like the first new Wii U game in
Because Xbox 360, I played Spelunker. Spelunky, I'm sorry. It's horrible. Don't play it.
Tim Martin Spelunker is regarded by some as one of the most...
Seemingly difficult games of all time.
Stars a frail suspender something or other.
That is that retro game, yeah.
Never mind.
Yep, that's not a new game.
No.
So, nothing new coming out this week. Next week.
Remember Me is supposed to be really good.
Remember Me has been getting a lot of good press. Mm-hmm. Marvel Heroes Online's coming out.
The Oregon Trail, just for you, Trent.
Well, that's the horror version of it, yeah.
For you.
When did the Incredible Adventures of Van Helsing drop?
That could drop this week.
Yeah, that's when I was looking at. I had that on my wish list. Hence, so, no, I'm just kidding.
SimCity.
And then two weeks, you got The Last of Us.
Yes.
Which is probably the biggest thing coming out.
Well, that's been hyped up, you know, here
for
and there.
For months.
Yeah. Well, even a little longer than that. I mean, we saw the previews for it originally.
E3.
Like E3 last year, so it's been a year.
What is it?
The Last of Us. And it looks really well
done. I
remember
seeing that.
It's showing stuff after the show. It looks really well done and looks pretty interesting, so.
Yep.
So, anyways, I want to give some quick shout-outs for give us people contact info. Got friends of the show at thecarouselpodcast.com. For the Love of Gaming, elseworldspodcast.com, bmfcost.com, newquarters.net, and tvgp.tv. They do good things. And also you can find us at facebook.com/tiltcast, twitter.com/tiltcast, tiltcast.com. Find us on iTunes at iTunes, search Tiltcast, same thing with Stitcher. And that is it. Oh, email us at teabag@tiltcast.com and tell us what you think of the damn question.
Emails! We love them!
What was the question?
Now the question is, how do you play games? Easy or normal or hard or... We'll figure out a way to phrase that.
Trip mode.
New York minute mode.
Trip mode.
Something like that. Yeah. So with that, we're going to close the damn show out and record an intro.
Close that damn show.
See you guys later.